So Ms. Matsumoto has the public speaking forms. So if you are planning to, you know, participate during the public speaking comment, please get a form from Ms. Matsumoto, fill it out, and then she will collect it either now or at the time that we're going to that we come to that section. Each speaker will have 3 minutes for public comment, and Ms. Lett is going to keep track of the time. When the buzzer sounds, we're going to ask you to stop. So we appreciate your understanding and your participation as well. All right, so I would like to thank all of you for being here. It is always exciting to see new faces. So those of you who are new to the meeting, thank you for being here. Ms. Le and Ms. Matsumoto are going to be helping us with various functions throughout the meeting. In various capacities, and now we're ready to get started. Is the board ready to get started? Okay, so we're going to ask Mr. Overlander to lead us through the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please rise, take your flag, and place your right hand over your heart. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for us and for all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. I'd like to start by explaining a little bit of the protocols. We are transitioning into a new way of doing meetings, so I think a little bit of an explanation is in order. So we have a very full agenda, as you have already seen. Hopefully you picked up in the one up at the handouts section. And so we're going to try to move the meeting along as quickly as we can so that we can all get out of here in time. So we're going to have some updates beforehand. The updates are for informational purposes only. And as we move on to the discussion items, which come after the updates, then we have a presentation from the Montebello team. That presentation pertains to item A on the agenda. After that, for the rest of the items, I will provide with a small introduction for each one of those items and then open it up for discussion and questions and comments from the team, from the executive team. If they have any questions, then I or the point person, members of the point person team, are ready to answer those questions.
I'm sorry, Lancy.
Yes.
I'm stuck in the middle.
Okay.
Can I get a copy of an agenda?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Thank you.
All right, so subsequently we'll go on to public comments and then board member comments and responses to public comments and then the action items. When we get to the action items, we will probably change the action items a little bit. We will do that in front of you to accommodate for some of the comments or some of the input during the during the discussion section. And so we'll incorporate, clean up some of the grammar. You know, it's already been pointed out that in some items we address Montebello Unified School District adult education in three different ways, so we're going to, you know, make it consistent as we move forward. Okay, so the first order of business is I would like to request from the executive team to introduce a motion for us to add an item to the agenda. I forgot to include the review of the minutes from the last session, and I think it's important for us to do that at this time. So may I have a motion from the executive team meeting?
Yeah, I'll move that item to include it on the agenda, the approval of the minutes from last meeting.
I'll second.
Thank you. And so let's proceed then to take a look at the minutes from last meeting. There are copies for everyone available. Does anybody need a copy? We'll take a few minutes to read through them.
We have to have a vote, sir, because we had a second on that.
Absolutely. Thank you. So may I call a vote to modify the agenda, please, starting with Dr. Miller?
Aye. Burbank, aye.
Yes.
Culver City, aye.
Los Angeles, aye.
Montebello, aye.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. So the motion is carried. We will modify the agenda to review the minutes from last time. So if we can proceed to that.
I'd like to make a recommendation, and I think this was something one of my colleagues mentioned at the last meeting, that when we actually do the minutes, we don't put them in a form of really a transcript, but more summary format, whereas this appears to be more of a transcript of, at least that's my reading of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how my colleagues feel about that. I think the information is great. I'm just wondering if it can be maybe a little more concise, more of a summary format versus what appears to be more of a transcript format.
Okay. thank you. Yes, this was supposed to be a summary format, so
oh, okay.
We will summarize them a little bit more. No question about it.
I guess one format might be, and again, I'm not, you know, trying to make this more difficult here, but just more of a sort of issue resolution, or you know, just sort of more of a pithy format.
Maybe. The feedback. Yeah.
You know, I think that we said we're learning here.
Yes.
So we had a motion to have the minutes placed on the agenda.
Correct.
But I believe that we now need a motion to accept the minutes from the December 8th, 2017 meeting.
Yeah, and what I would like to do is move a motion to send these back and have them placed into a shorter format along the lines Mr. Stark indicated, what the item was, and the action was. So more of a set of minutes that reports on action and not necessarily this level of detail.
Okay.
That'd be my motion.
Good. I would second that motion in terms of format, and then I would also like to move that we accept these minutes in terms of content with the understanding that they will be modified in the future to be more of the format that we
I'll accept that amendment.
Okay, terrific. Can we have a vote then?
Second.
So it's been second. So may I have a vote starting with Dr. Miller, please?
LACCD, aye.
LACCD, Burbank?
Burbank, aye.
Culver City?
Aye.
Los Angeles Unified?
Aye.
And Montebello Unified?
Aye.
Okay, so the motion is carried. To summarize, we will summarize a little bit more. We will remove some of the narrative and have more of a minute feel to this particular set. But at the same time, the content of the current minutes is adopted, correct?
Correct.
All right. Thank you, everybody. So we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is consortium updates. The updates would be presented by Dr. Adrienne Ann Mullen, Ms. Mon Le, and by Ms. Diana Matsumoto. We'll start with Dr. Yes, there she is, Dr. Mullen.
Hi, Adrienne Ann Mullen, and do you have a slide too or not?
A slide?
Yeah.
You do.
Okay.
I missed the cue, I'm sorry.
So we disbanded the, or put on hiatus, I should restate that, the subject matter expert groups in the fall. And so we met again at Hunts Point People, and our recommendation is to have the subject matter experts reconvene and identify one goal that they'll complete between now and the end of June. So they'll tell us their goal by mid-February. We'll bring it back for their approval of the exec committee, and then have them complete that between that point, mid-February, until June. And then we're also looking at working college to adult school. So it'll be a two-tier approach. The regional concept, which will be that one goal of the subject matter expert groups, and then having each adult school work with their college to complete articulations. Any questions?
All right, thank you, Dr. Mullen. Mullen, then we have Ms. Lett. Some update on upcoming budgets and deadlines.
The ABG State Office implemented a new system called the NOLA system, which tracks ABG active funding. So all the LERC member districts last year, December 15, 2018, submitted their quarter one data, and Mr. Astoria certified it by January 15. At the last open meeting, we discussed, December 8th, on the agenda, we discussed the data and accountability plan. We provided you an update on the data and accountability plan that was submitted to the state. Included there was $1.26 million to develop a common data system for LERC. The request for proposal, RFP, for that project was withdrawn for LERC, and the fund will now be redistributed to each member of the district. Item E on the agenda shows the distribution formula the point person team is suggesting. By the way, not listed on the agenda, but very important, is that the state allocated the ABG statewide consortium a $20.5 million for cost of living and a $5 million for data and accountability. And for the budget deadline, is that January 31st, the 16th final expense reports due. And midterm data and accountability expense report is due in the old system. And for March 1st, the 16th, 17th, and 17th, 18th member expense report due is going to be due in NOVA. Just an FYI.
Okay.
Just a quick question. I'm sorry. Mon, 20.5 per COLA, and then what was the other one?
$5 million for data and accountability.
And that's for throughout the state, all ABG programs in the state, correct?
That's correct.
Common system, so K-12, community college, all of it, correct?
Is it for the consortium?
Yes, that is correct. For the 71 consortium.
For the 71 consortium throughout the state. Okay, thank you. So we then pulled back our $1.2 million investment, and that's now being redistributed among the districts?
That is correct.
Yeah, are the consortium members?
Yes, and so the board last time around suggested for the point persons team to develop a formula for distribution, and that's what you have, that's what you're looking at. That's going to be item E on the agenda.
Item E on the agenda.
So you, when we get to it, we'll see it.
Yes,
yeah. Right.
All right, yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions?
So I just want to clarify, that COLA is, was that 2.05?
20 million.
Yes. Oh, 20 million.
500,000, yes.
I think it comes out to about 4.1%, if I'm not mistaken.
From the entire grant,
right. Yeah.
Okay, the next update is going to be provided by Ms. Matsumoto. It pertains to the LERC, to the second annual LERC conference.
The 2018 conference will be held at the Sheraton Universal Hotel on Saturday, March 10th from 8 to 2. We have robust registration to roll out. People have been to roll out. Last week, we already have more than a quarter of attendees expected. We have 137. We expected about 500. So we're doing really well. And one of our partners, the Los Angeles Public Library, is sending a contingent of 10. Vendor applications and presenter proposals are due January 31st. For our presentation, we're highlighting student panels, which was a suggestion we had from last year. We'll have student-centered panels for each session in ESL, ABD-ASD, and CTE. The student panel was one of the most highly attended workshops last year, similar to the workshop for classified staff. So we're planning to meet and exceed these demands this year as well. We've reached out to two keynote speakers, Judy Mortrude, Senior Policy Analyst from the Center for Postsecondary and Economic Success based in Washington, D.C., and Dr. Kevin Fleming, author of Redefining the Goal, The True Path to Career Readiness in the 21st Century. The planning committee is regarding workshops. The planning committee is also seeking workshops that are regionally relevant and specifically tailored to professional development needs of members of the consortium.
So I have a question. Thank you very much. Glad to hear that the student panels are being featured I think I did attend that last year, and it was very, I think we need to be doing more of that, listening to students, obviously, which is great to hear. So for folks who are interested in perhaps presenting or have ideas, where can they go? Do they go to a website? How do they submit? Okay.
Yes. It's a very, we streamlined the application process, and so as somebody who's had to submit presentations before, it can get very tedious, and we as a group streamlined it, so it's very easy to apply.
And they go to Larrick.net, right?
Yes, Larrick.net.
Okay. Do we have a poster here?
Oh, yeah.
Kimo did a great job.
And from what I understand, we did get the rights from Journey, right?
Yes. Steve Perry says yes.
Okay.
Great. Just make sense of sure. A cassette tape to play.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your update, Ms. Matsumoto. Now we will move on to the discussion items. First item. We'll start with the Bonavello team doing a presentation that pertains, again, to item A on the agenda. So we will flip presentations, go to the Bonavello presentation, and then Mr. Craig Lee will introduce the rest of his team and do the presentation. Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Craig Lee. I'm a financial manager of the Montebello Unified School District. And I am here today in response to the state audit that was done at the Montebello Unified School District, and in particular, their recommendations regarding the reallocation of funds related to the Montebello Community Adult School and in coordination with Larrick. My report today was prepared in collaboration with Mr. Garcia, our Director of Adult Education. Before I begin, I'd first like to start with some demographics of the communities that we serve. Our district encompasses approximately 22 square miles and encompasses the three main cities that we serve are the Montebello, City of Commerce, and Bell Gardens. However, we serve a total of 12 cities, including the portions of South San Gabriel, Rosemead, Monterey Park, Pico Rivera, East LA, Downey, Bell, Cudahy, and Vernon. About 39.3% of our 25 years and older population have no high school diploma. Only 42.1% of that same population has a high school diploma only, and only 18.6% has some form of higher education. 83% of our population are Hispanic, and another 10% are Asian. This means that 79%, approximately 79% of our population speaks another language besides English at home. This compares to 57% for LA County and 44% for California. Our median household income is $44,000 to $46,000. This compares to $61,000 for LA County and $68,000 for California. Our per capita income is only $18,000. This compares to $31,000 for LA County and $33,000 for California. This means that on average, our poverty level is around 19%. Our 90% of our total population lives below the poverty level. Here is a little bit different for First City. Bell Gardens is a little bit higher, 24%, 18% for Commerce, and 14.7% for Montebello. As such, this compares to 16% for LA County and 14% for California. As such, 80% of our K-12 students are participating in our three-year reduced lunch program. So as you can see, there is a significant need in our community to maintain a healthy and strong adult education program. Starting this year, our adult school has gone through some very significant changes, starting with a new management team led by Mr. Dan Garcia. In addition, we have implemented a new enrollment, registration, and management software system called Administrative Software Application, or ASAP for short. This system is used by majority of the adults who's in California, and it will help us maintain more accurate enrollment and attendance records. We also have instituted a new board policy to address student-to-teacher ratios. This ratio is based upon subject matter. As you can see, for PSL, citizenship, ABE, and ASC courses, our minimum ratio is 15 students to one teacher. For CTE, is 10 to 1. For adults with disabilities, 8 to 1.
What's your maximum? That's your minimum?
That's minimum.
So how big the class
is? Is it minimum class size or minimum teacher to student ratio?
Student-to-teacher ratio.
So does that mean if you have 30 students in an ESL class, you put two teachers in it?
Not necessary. It depends on if we have teachers in it. Hmm. Some of our classes, we have up to 40, maybe more.
Okay. Does your contract require, is there a maximum for your faculty? Or do you have?
Well, this is a new board policy that we instituted. I don't think.
No maximum.
No, we don't have a maximum.
No.
Because if we have we have lab settings as well, we could carry over close to 80 to 100 on a lab setting where they can come in and out for a high school diploma program.
Thank you.
So just so I'm clear, then the rationale for implementing the minimum would just be that in order for a particular course to be considered, I guess, viable from a financial standpoint. The board took action in Montebello to say for ESL that's 15 students minimum. If it falls below that, what happens? Is the class closed? Are funds reallocated?
That's something that our administration will have to take into account. Okay. Usually by the first 2 weeks of semester, our administration team will do headcounts and compare that with the ASAP enrollment system. And at that time, they'll make the determination of what needs to be done.
And excuse me, you may not be able, and I'm sorry, we don't really have a formal way of asking to be recognized, so I guess this is an okay way to communicate. Is that right?
It's fine with me.
Yeah. All right. So, you may not be able to answer this, but does an ESL high school citizenship class pencil out at 15, or are you running that class at a loss? The class sizes seem small to me, but
we really didn't analyze it in that sense. I don't believe this was more of a recommendation from the state audit that we consider the class size.
Size minimum.
But I'm sure that you also consulted with other adult ed programs.
Yes.
Those numbers actually look pretty similar to our own. And having a basis for a minimum and some sort of consideration for what you need to have to run the class.
Yes, sir. I believe our research was around 10 to 20 students per class.
So they're consistent with other adult ed programs. Is that what I hear?
Well, I think
if
I may, I think it's probably worthwhile just from the K-12 perspective to shed a little context on it from the standpoint of back when adult ed was funded through average daily attendance, it was much more kind of, I would say, you know, scientific in terms of actual dollars calculated in terms of, you know, student enrollment and those hours, you know, meant a certain level of funding. What we have, obviously, with the Adult Ed Block Grant, at least for programs funded in K-12, is that, you know, as the name suggests, it's a block of money, and really it's up to, at least for the moment anyway, individual districts to develop local policies which would basically ensure that the funds are being used appropriately for, you know, per the terms of the grant. So there, I would imagine there's probably some variation, perhaps, in terms of what individual districts may consider, you know, to be a minimum, maximum, based on, you know, local needs, et cetera. But I would imagine that they're fairly consistent with what's being presented on the board.
Thank you. That helps. Thank you.
Okay.
Our current enrollment, later on I'll be also talking about our budget proposal and what funding that we receive for the district. Our current enrollment for unduplicated enrollment count is 4,671 students. Our duplicated enrollment count is 5,848 students. And in order to better serve our communities, our management team has been actively advertising and promoting our adult program, our adult school program, and creating new CT classes. Some of the classes that we started so far is EKG, ECG, pharmacy tech, recreational activities for after-school program certificates, corporate education, adults with disabilities, a personal care aid class, and we are in the process of working on a building and construction instructor class and a certified nursing assistant class. And going forward, Mr. Garcia will provide the LARIC Board with quarterly reports, which will include, but not limited to, status updates regarding program enhancements, enrollment, and budget updates, including year-to-date actuals. Finally, we have prepared a two-year budget proposal for fiscal years 2017-18 and 2018-19 for your approval. The formula that we used to develop this budget was based upon our program needs, our community and student needs, demographics and poverty levels, startup costs for new CT class, our goals of rebuilding, growing, and improving our programs and enrollment. Our sources of funds, as you can see, for 2017-18 include $15.5 million in NERC allocation, additional $365,000 for data accountability, and prior year carryover, ADPG carryover around $4.6 million. This gives us a total of $20.6 million in ADPG funding available for this year. We also are receiving federal funding via WIOA and Carl Perkins. However, we are receiving no additional funding from our school district. For the remainder of the 2017-18 school year, we believe that we can reduce our ADPG operating budget down to $14.3 million. However, we will need additional time to work with our school district and employee organizations in order to make deeper cuts. Therefore, we are proposing that we defer about $6.3 million of future revenue, or 31% of our total current AEBG funds, back to LARIC this year. This includes all our carryover, our data accountability funds, and additional $1.2 million. For fiscal years 2018-19 school year, we believe we'll be able to reduce our AEBG operating budget by just 13% or $1.8 million, which will also be deferred back to LARIC. This will give us, this will leave us a total operating budget of $12.4 million. So within two fiscal years, we propose returning back to LARIC about $8.1 million. And this will be, and the $12.4 million will basically take our funding, our APG funding, back to state levels that we were receiving in 2008-2009. And that concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Mr. Garcia?
Yes.
I'd just like to point out that we do have a handout with the actual recommendations from the State Audit Office for that pertain to LARIC. You know, again, to try to add a little bit more context to this particular handout. The recommendations, of course, include the reevaluation of the allocation.
I'm sorry, I did have a question. This is a lot to absorb here. So my question is, with the 2016-17 carryover of 4.665, sir, did you have any? That's a large carryover. Did you have any plans for the use of this funding?
Yes, sir. What kind of happened was some background history is we originally got our additional funding of $3.1 million a little late in 2016. So, and then we had some kind of turmoil within our district, which in the start of 2016-17. So what happened was all our plans, at that time, because of the turmoil, our district placed a hold on all new hirees and a hold on new hires and new spending. So all the plans that we had, are what we're starting now. Unfortunately, it was delayed about a year and a half. So,
don't foresee that that's what happens. Why our caregivers became so big?
So if I'm understanding this, then part of the proposal that Montebello is submitting is to take that carryover with some additional funds and basically return it to the to LERIC. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. In response, I guess, to the audit's recommendation.
And so another question. And by the way, this very very good presentation you've made here for the 18-19 academic term. You're proposing a budget excluding COLA of $12,438,000, and that is that allows you to within that amount to implement these new programs that you're seeking to implement, the CNA and the what did I miss? The building and the construction.
Yes. So we believe so. Of course, we could always use more money, but you know, within the constraints that was recommended, we believe that we have to make certain cuts to comply with the audit. But we believe that at the end of the day, we should have a significant program.
So I would just say this strikes me as incredibly responsible, mm-hmm. and is very much appreciated. It's a significant sum of money that is coming back to us from 17-18 and is a rational and well thought out plan for 18-19, at least from a fiscal point of view. And given what you said and what I know Mr. Garcia will do, I am very comfortable with this and appreciate the hard work that went into this. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. So, if there aren't any other questions,
can we take an action on this now, or do we have to wait for the action?
The way we have set up the agenda is to have the discussion first, and then we'll hear comments from the public, and then the board answers those comments, and then we do the action items.
So,
well, we don't answer comments.
Answer comments. I'm sorry.
We don't answer comments.
No, you have the opportunity to provide additional comment as well.
Yes. Yeah. So just for point of order going in the future, it might be better to take them all, you know, basically have the presentation, take public comment if you want it, and then take action. Otherwise, it becomes hard to keep track of everything.
Okay. We can certainly implement that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So just kind of, again, because this is the first time I'm seeing this, so be patient with me here. I want to echo what Dr. Miller said. I think, you know, in working with Mr. Garcia, it's very clear that he has taken the recommendations very seriously with regard to the Montebello audit, and particularly, you know, vis-a-vis the adult ed program. And so I think it's pretty clear, you know, based on what's been presented, that there've been a, you know, there's been a great deal of action taken in terms of making sure that, you know, the dollars are accounted for, that there's a plan moving forward, and that's very appreciated. What I will say is that, you know, coming from LAUSD, you know, we ourselves are dealing with, you know, quite a significant shortfall going into next year, which is going to impact, obviously, you know, when we get to the point where we're taking action on this item. I just think it's important to point out that, you know, again, not to belabor the point, but, you know, the findings that came down from the state, you know, basically indicated that, you know, there were funds that were allocated to a particular member that, you know, perhaps should not have been allocated in the way they were, right? Because that's pretty much what the finding says. And that was at the expense, you know, of funding going to other districts for the past several years. So, and the fact that we haven't had COLA or really any increase in AEBG for the last several years, you know, that's been a tremendous impact to LAUSD. And as the largest, you know, provider in the consortium in terms of adult ed, we certainly appreciate the efforts the plan, you know, that Montebello has presented. I guess My concern would be kind of moving forward. I mean, we understand there's $4.6 million basically sitting in an account, okay? And we appreciate the fact that that would be included in the plan to redistribute for LERIC. But when we look at the balance of $1.6 million coming off of what appears to be then the yearly allocation for Montebello, I'm just wondering, you know, if that's in fact fair to the rest of the members of the consortium. You know, again, I'm not here to come across as overly punitive or, you know, anything like that. It's just that, you know, I have, as we all do, you know, tremendous needs, particularly, you know, in my district, with programs and a shortfall just trying to sustain what we have. So we're not even talking about growth. We're just looking at about $7 million that LAUSD would need going into next year just to sustain what we currently have. So I'm wondering if, you know, Montebello, and, you know, and I don't know if I'm the only one on the board that has this view, but, you know, I think in terms of the state MOE, I'm wondering if Montebello would consider going to the state MOE in terms of funding, at least, you know, moving forward into next year, and then whatever the balance was in terms of consortium funding, which this board, maybe other members at the time, determined what that MOE was, and we would, and I don't know if it was 1.6 million. I think it might have been a little higher.
3.5.
3.5? Okay. And so that would be my recommendation to for the consideration of this board to look at the redistribution. I think that's equitable, given, again, some of the severity of cuts, particularly vis-a-vis LAUSD.
May I offer, just for the sake of transparency, if we do, we would have to, if we proceed the way that it has been suggested so far, then we would have to revisit this item again next year, because we would have to review our CFAD this year. Our CFAD is our presentation of the allocation of the consortium to the state, right, so that they know how to distribute funds. So because it's only partial amount of consortium funding that would be reduced, because that affects the distribution of funds for next year as well. And so we would have to change our CFAD this year, and we would also have to change our CFAD next year. So that would be, you know, an effort that would be ongoing for 2 years versus being able to finalize it this year with one action alone. Yes.
I'm not sure what you just said. So I maybe you guys may have all understood it, but I'm not sure if we make a decision now about this amount, it applies according to this plan. It applies to this year's funding and next year's funding.
Correct. Part of it does. Okay. The problem is, you know, when we're talking about is it carryover, $4.6 million, that's a one-time issue, okay? It doesn't affect the current funding of the
because it's consortium. From 16-17.
Because it's from 16-17, and it's not a reoccurring funding issue. Whereas when we're talking about consortium funding, when the consortium funding is taken away from one district and redistributed to the rest of the members, then that funding becomes permanent. And next year funding is based
on that formula. It becomes a permanent allocation formula.
Exactly. But because there is return of that permanent funding this year and next year, then not only do we have to present to the state a recalculation of that formula this year, but we would also have to do that next year, which means that we would have to extend our reports to the state auditor's office beyond the 1 year that we are already scheduled to report for.
And is that a problem? Not a problem. So I'm you're stating it as this is what would have to happen. What would be the issue with that?
The issue with that is that it extends the amount of reporting that we have to do to the state auditor's office. In other words, if we were to do a one-time adjustment by the end of the year, we make our final report, and then that would be, we would be done as long as the state auditors feel that, you know, those amounts that were returned were sufficient to satisfy their recommendation.
Okay. So if we make a decision right now, sorry,
yeah,
if we make a decision now about just this school year, mm-hmm. then that's the one-time thing we deal with now.
That's the four. Unfortunately, we're talking about two funding sources, right?
Right, I understand.
One is the carryover.
Sure.
That's a one-time thing, and that doesn't affect anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because the proposal that is being made is to reduce consortia funding partially this year, and the rest of it next year, mm-hmm. then that extends the matter of reporting by 2 years, right? Because the state auditor's office would want to know for certain that that transfer has taken place. And so we would have to extend, or the state, we wouldn't, but the state actually would require us to report on that matter by the end of this year and also by the end of the following year. And they would continue to follow up with us as long as they feel that we have not met the requirements. In the requirements, they included that, you know, they provided us with a year to pretty much address.
And if I could interject, okay, it gave us a year. They gave Montebello a year to make something happen. We made this happen within a month and a half. We proposed what we're proposing right now, and graciously, my team members here have been very cordial and very acceptance of what we're doing, and which, I mean, we're doing this basically overnight, because that's how serious I know this is. So, I mean, we could have dragged our feet, Montebello could have dragged their feet, because it's a recommendation. However, I respect my colleagues here, and that's how come we jumped on it as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the amount of money that we are looking at here, I think is viable. I understand everybody's position here, because, in fact, money is money. And I don't want to see anybody lose jobs in any district or get, you know, reduced or reduction. But either way, for sustainability, same difference here for Montebello Unified, because of the fact that, well, would we be possibly looking at reductions as well? And as Mr. Stark did say about maintenance of effort, basically, if you look at the numbers and we're looking at, there is no more maintenance of effort money any longer, however, that does put us at back to where a maintenance of effort money was for Montebello Unified back in 2008. So that would be basically where we would be. So I'm sorry to interject, but you know that's my feeling in regards to where we're at, and I just wanted to make sure I addressed that point as well.
Notwithstanding the highly technical explanation that you just provided that I didn't understand half of, but that's okay. Joe, can you restate again what your principal? I see the numbers see the numbers on the page here, and I think I understood you to say that you wanted to take some of this money back and redistribute.
Right.
But I'm not trying to find. I can't find the $1.6 million that you were talking about.
Okay. So, first of all, I think it's important to, you know, again, these are sensitive conversations that we're having, obviously, in public. We all, and not to bloviate here, but I mean, it's just that it's important to understand. I mean, we're each executives responsible for administering programs at each of our districts, and we're also board members responsible for administering these funds in the best way possible to meet student needs per the grant. So that's where I'm coming from. I just want to make that clear. So to basically explain what I was saying earlier, so you have the, you know, the $4.6 million, which is, you know, again, sitting in an account, not doing anything, not serving students, not doing anything. It's sitting in an account. One proposal to consider would be, you know, because again, as we're saying, this is one-time funds. This wouldn't be a redistribution ongoing. This would be one-time, back in the LERIC pot, redistribute to the other districts. We are under the gun, obviously, because we have March 15th coming up. right? And we're right in the middle of budget development, which means we really do, from LAUSD's standpoint, we need to know where we stand in terms of these funds and how much this district may get so that we can mitigate any possible cuts that we're looking at and shortfalls. So from my point of view, I think, and again, I want to commend the Montebello team for putting together, I think a very sensible, reasonable plan. And undergoing, I think, some probably very difficult work in your district to prepare this, and your transparency and candidness in working with this board is very much appreciated. What I'd like to see, though, is, you know, again, the one-time funds redistributed, and then the difference between what the MOE was calculated and what Montebello is currently getting, notwithstanding the carryover, whatever that gap is, right? And I'm seeing it as $1.6 million as proposed, but I believe the consortium amount, as you said, Mr. Estudios, was, I think, something around $3.5 million. So why am I putting that forward? Because nobody on this board calculated Montebello's MOE. That was a state calculation. There were decisions made, however, by members of this board, and I wasn't a member at the time, that related to distributing consortium funds to each of the member districts. And so I think, you know, given, you know, the findings, given the fact that we have services to students that have remained unfilled, continue to remain unfilled, I think it's fair that those consortium dollars, that portion, be redistributed to the other districts, in a way that's equitable, and we can talk about what that might mean, but that would be a redistribution and calculation moving forward. And as new funds would come in the future, obviously, any one of us, any one district, would be able to propose various projects or proposals for funding. But I think taking back, if you will, the consortium funds and putting that back into the LERIC pot, to me, seems fair and equitable. But that's LAUSD's position. I'm not speaking for anybody else.
So you're saying that the total of the $4.7 million would be redistributed among the balance of the districts. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
First. That's
first.
Step one.
That's first. So that would be one-time funds for next year.
Right.
And I'm proposing that we take action on that today.
Okay.
Because we don't have tomorrow. We have deadlines coming up. And I've got 51 positions that are on the chopping block right now, and some of the folks are in the room.
So practically speaking, if I may,
yeah, sorry, sure.
$4.7 million, which was money to be used by Montebello, that Montebello did not use and is not in a position to use right now. So we put those dollars to work in a fashion among the balance of the district. How does that impact Montebello's situation going forward?
Go ahead, Craig. Can I clarify something, please? So I think there may be some confusion on how I presented this information. And I apologize for that if I caused any confusion. So basically, if we had the money now, we would give back $6.2 million now. That would include the carryover, the data accountability, and 1.2 additional money this year.
That's how I understood it. The balance would be returned to LARIC, and included in that was the $4.6 million.
Right, that's correct. However, because, issues with, we can't just lay people off tomorrow. We need time, as I mentioned, we need time to work with our district and our employee organizations. That's why we did a two-year process. Well, unfortunately, we can't give you the carryover, the $4.6 million, plus the additional $3 million immediately, because we don't have that cash in the bank. The state gives us money on a monthly basis, and they give us the whole pot of money at the same time. So what we're proposing is giving back this year, this current fiscal year, $6.3 million, which is $1.2 million of the three, you know, additional $3 million. And then next year, if the remaining, at the beginning of the school year, you know, we, as Ms. Garcia said, we'll probably have to make our cuts to reduce our operating AEBG operating budget down to $12.4 million. But on July 1st, you know, that will be our operating budget, $12.4 million, which, like I said, was the amount, the MOE amount, I guess you could say, that we have been receiving since 2008 to 2009.
May I interrupt for a second? So you just said, if I heard you correctly, that as of now, you're in the position to return to Larry $6.3 million.
Well, not. I don't know if we can give you actually write a check, but you know,
budget-wise,
you know.
And then how much in 17-18?
And how much in 18-19?
18-19,
another additional
1.8. So 6.3 plus 1.8?
Correct.
So 8.
So then, in fact, that would get us to basically what I was talking
correct.
About.
Correct.
The carryover plus
correct.
Consortium dollars.
But we're proposing like a 2-year process because we don't have cash.
Because the March 15 notices and things you have to do and all the rest of it.
Yes,
so to summarize, somehow between now and June 30th, $6.3 million will come back to this consortium. Is that correct?
Yeah, we haven't figured out the logistics.
That's essentially the concept.
Yeah,
we defer the revenue.
Okay, and then 1.8, which means...
And we would defer. We'll defer whatever comes from the state. Okay. It goes to you.
Which means for the purposes of the planning of our districts, once we determine how we want to allocate that money, then Joe, in your case, or Mr. Ark, in your case, you would then know how much money that you would have available to maybe carry forward to next year to save some positions, provide greater services.
Right. So if I'm understanding it correctly, then what we're looking at between now and the end of the school year is potentially 8.1.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
That's
so correct. If we were all to agree, okay, it's 8.1, that essentially goes back essentially in the LERIC pot,
right?
The understanding is that 4.6 of that is one time. The remaining balance would be ongoing, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Correct.
And then the next part of it would then be, as a board, we would decide what that distribution schedule would look like for the other four members,
correct.
So, and I know this is stressful for you. I'm not trying to give you a hard time here. I just want to, you know, be made sure that I'm getting this. Is, again, we're talking about 6.3 potentially for the end of this school year, academic year, and then an additional 1.880 by the end of the 18-19 academic year, or June 30th of 19.
July 1st, your new fiscal year, you'll get 1.8 for your new fiscal year. Yeah. We're just going to defer it. We're not going to receive it. We'll defer.
We'll be working with our budget. We'll be working with $12.4 million. How will we defer that money?
Instead of Montebello receiving, we have to defer it.
Right.
And so that's the process that I was talking about. That's the CFAT process. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, the 4.6, it's not an issue. Basically, you guys are going to have to write a check and send it back to us, to the consortium, and then the consortium will decide how to redistribute, so on and so forth. That's one section. The other part, you know, the 1.2, has to be redistributed. We need to advise the state how much money each district will get as of the end of
July 1.
Yeah, as of the end of February, so that that can be implemented
for
July 1.
Okay,
exactly.
Makes sense.
Then that same process will have to be done for the following school year.
Got it.
Okay, so we're looking at February in introducing the amendment to the state. This February and February of that next year, the same thing for the funding that should be received in 1920. So as you can see, we're dragging, and that's the point that I'm trying to make, right? You know, it's like it's not my decision what amount or you know any of that. I'm just trying to point out to you the
technicalities of the operation so that, you know, we understand how long this is being delayed, if you will, which has an effect on how the state auditor's office will view the action. Okay? That's what I'm coming from. Yes.
So I, another thing that I think we need to all be clear on, and I'm requesting this as public information, and that is what every other district's carryover is for 16-17. I think that it's important that everybody knows exactly what that is for everybody.
For 16-17 or 17-18?
No. What's your current 16-17 carryover is, right? Because you don't have a 17-18 carryover.
Right.
We all still have what's in our 16-17 carryover, and I think that that needs to be public information. Because from our perspective, Culver City being a small school district, we have zero carryover. And so as we're considering the reallocation of Montebello's carryover, I think that we do need to consider what everybody else's carryover currently is.
So. Yeah, I mean, I would take it a step further. I think, you know, it's important that in the whole, what the state has told us is that, you know, depending on each district, you know, some of us have access to funds that other districts don't have access to. So when we look at services to adult ed, we understand that for some of us, AEBG is our general fund. Mm-hmm. It isn't supplemental, right? Yep. For others, there may be access to other revenue, right? So I agree with kind of over your, I think, overarching is, yes, not just AEBG.
Disclosure.
But we also want to look at, you know, if there's other funding sources that you're utilizing. For example, LAUSD is utilizing class fees to help us close the gap for next year. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to get us there all the way. But, you know, I think it's important from LAUSD's perspective to communicate, we're not looking for any kind of Alaric bailout here, but the reality is, the budget reality is, that for LAUSD, AEBG represents the vast bulk of our funding. LCFF, LCAP funding is not adult ed funding, and consequently, we are 100% grant funded with AEBG and some other supplemental sources, but AEBG is, for lack of a better way of putting it, our meat, steak and potatoes.
So maybe there's a way, and I don't know how we're going to make the decision right now, because unless you're going to provide that information today, I think the idea is that we do need to know what is everybody's carryover 16-17. Where does your income come from, or what Joe just said? What income do you have access to? Whether it's your AEBG, your WIOA, your Perkins, your LCFF, your whatever those things are on your community college side that I don't know they are, whatever those things are, that you can use for those programs. I think that's critical for that to be considered as we make a decision about reallocation.
So just to go on the record, all of the other sources of money you just talked about go to those programs. They go to typically four credit, or in some cases non-credit career and technical education type activities. Our district principally uses all of the AEBG funds that we get in support of our adult education classes. What we also provide, though, is in-kind support, facilities, classrooms, maintenance, all of those things to run our program. So. I'm not sure how we zigged into this particular topic, but I just want to just go on record as saying every one of the adult ed dollars that we get goes into the adult ed. Now, I will say that our carryover last year was more than it should have been because we were still getting our programs up to speed, our adult ed programs, hiring deans and what have you. But now that it's up and going, we expect to do that. Adrienne.
And I think the carryover, too, and the way our district does it, is allotted to positions. So if I enter a position under a certain budget, that position has to go with that budget until it expires.
Right.
And then we transfer them. So it looks like it's a large carryover, but it's people.
But it's the same thing anywhere. So my request is that we at least, I would rather that we have the numbers to look at from where they are, and then we can have a discussion about what that means. But The bottom line is to even have any ability to have a carryover, to even have any ability to have a carryover is something different than we're able to do at all. So, so I think that we can have a discussion about what that means for you, what that means. But when we start talking about the carryover is this, but yeah, this is what it's planned for, and this is what it's planned for. I understand that all of you have plans for what that money was for. So I think that's my automatic assumption, that those are planned funds to be spent. The reality is that what are our carryovers, and then what is the money, where does the money come from that we have, that we're able to spend for this adult ed side, and then all those other considerations. But I think having that discussion with those numbers in front of us and then having that debate makes it a little bit easier to have it, because otherwise we're just...
Well, I mean, I agree. I just say that I don't think time is on our side, mm-hmm. Veronica. And if we had more time, yes. LAUSD is prepared to share those numbers this afternoon. We came prepared mm-hmm. because we saw on the action item that we're taking a vote on allocation, mm-hmm. distribution and allocation. So, I mean, this agenda came out. Mm-hmm. If folks had numbers that they needed to share to make the case for the funding, then they should have prepared that, is my view. LAUSD is prepared to share that, and from a fiscal snapshot point of view. So I wouldn't be in favor of kicking this can down the road anymore. I think we have action items that we should take action on. I think what, after hearing the discussion, and again, I thank you, Craig. I appreciate you being in the line of fire. I hope you're not taking any of this personally, Mr. Garcia, because you're adult ed friends, and I mean that. But at the same time, you know, we have very difficult decisions and not a lot of time to make decisions. And from my point of view, I think we need to take action based on what's been presented, which I think is reasonable. I think it's fair. I think it represents a very thoughtful and responsible plan, and I commend the Montebello staff for preparing it, and I would encourage the other, you know, my colleagues to, you know, consider this carefully today, and let's take action.
And I just want to add that I fully concur, and a point of clarification, whatever monies that we are carrying over is part of the state report.
Yes.
So that information is public. It's up on the website. It was reported 2 months ago, 3 months ago, whenever it was. So we are transparent, and we're not. You know, all of that information is available and has been provided to the public. So I would agree with Mr. Stark. I'm fully prepared to take an action today.
So I want to ask a question here. The action that you're prepared to take today, Dr. Miller, is what?
Well,
I don't mean the details money number wise, but what specifically action are you ready to take?
I would move. We're not at the action point yet, Lindsay, or can we take an action?
No, not yet.
Okay. Then when we get to the point of being able to do that,
if the board would like to change the way the agenda is set up right now.
Well, we don't need to do that because okay. That's more motion. But let's just say this: there's a plan in front of us. It's been very clearly explained to us. We know we're going to get over 17, 18, 18, 19, $8.1 million will be returned to us for redistribution as however we see fit. It's been well vetted, well thought through, obviously very sincerely. They took the state audit very seriously. They took us very seriously, and they put a plan in front of us. Starting with the demographics, I think, was a very good way to start because obviously there's an urgent need in Montebello for these services. And so I believe that this is a fair proposal. So I would when we get around to it, I would put on the table this and move on this with the added caveat that $8.1 million will come back to us for redistribution.
I guess what my question is, as I look at this, this talks about establishing a formula. So would you be prepared today to present from that 8.1, yeah, I think just to throw it out there, there is a distribution formula that was in place to distribute all the monies that we all get. So at least for now, my recommendation would be that we use the same allocation formula. Okay. Now, if somebody wants to propose something different, then we can sort of talk about that. And I would not. I don't want to say that I'm opposed to that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think. I think that we really have to look at this in terms of the harsh realities that we're facing in terms of right now, the budget scenario. I think we have to look at what do we need right now to stay alive and be whole. If our mission as a consortium is to, at minimum, sustain adult debt, then that's what we need to focus on. So to the degree that these dollars, if we're agreeing that these are, that this proposal is acceptable and these dollars go back into the LIRC pot, then I would agree with Dr. Miller that there wouldn't be, in my view, a compelling reason to change a funding formula that's already been in place now for several years, because I believe it's equitable. And when I say equitable, I don't mean equal, because each district has very different needs, different sizes, different needs, different situations. But we also have to look at, from a data standpoint, which hasn't come up yet, how are the dollars being utilized? We can show you. We brought it today. We can show you exactly the you know, what LAUSD is producing in terms of the outcomes of the ABG grant. And it is a performance-based grant. And those numbers that LAUSD is putting up is good for the consortium. I'm not sitting here saying that we're doing, you know, all the work, but we are putting up pretty serious numbers with regard to student outcomes, diplomas, educational gains, all those things that are listed on the grant, you know, outcomes. So I think the safe play, in my view, and I would agree with Dr. Miller, is to use the at least for now, the distribution formula that we have been using to get us whole, so that we can at least LAUSD whole and keep Burbank, Culver City, Montebello, LACCD as close to whole, if not completely whole, as possible going into next year. And then guess what? Everybody needs to lobby Sacramento for more money, because there's not enough money. We recognize that. We need more money. This consortium needs more money. But, you know, again, I have 51 folks who are potentially getting pink slips in my district. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. I don't think it's fair. I think with the kind of numbers that we're putting up, we deserve the investment, and we're going to put it to good use. And I think we need to take action today.
So in deference to our Unified School District colleagues and the very difficult decisions that you are facing with layoff notices, that we are not. I, as the Vice Chancellor of Finance and Resource Development for the district, LACCD will defer any part of this money. And we will work with what we've got. One time this year, the situation, but we'll defer that income to our unified district colleagues.
So
can I
give
hug
that.
Dr. Miller right
well,
now?
And, so, and but what, well, what you did
I
hear
may,
him say
I
is he's giving,
it,
he's, giving
is,
Culver,
right.
He's giving Culver City his percentage. And so,
what I said
but,
is...
No,
what
I got it. I'm teasing.
I just, can I just make a comment first? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
What, given that, and understanding that Montebello is not getting their money, we can't use the same formula, because the formula is based on a percentage of all of the districts. So that in and of itself will not work.
So what I'm suggesting is unless we have to decide on the formula today, there is $8.1 million that will be made available as a result of Montebello. There will be time to determine how the three districts, Culver City, and Burbank, can allocate those funds.
Right. So what does Culver City need for next year to be whole, to sustain adulthood?
Like Vegas.
1.15 without WIA.
You're getting WIA.
Right.
So you're getting WIOA, right?
So 900,000.
So 900,000 to sustain programs.
Right.
Not to grow, but to sustain.
To sustain what we've got going.
Okay.
So, and I think I'll just add, if I may, I do agree significantly with what Mr. Stark said about results and completion and looking at our look at funding on the basis of our success rates and what we're trying to do and where the greatest needs are. That's what a consortium is supposed to do. So I would be very supportive of that. I think we all have to be cognizant of the fact that this is a one-time deal, if you will.
Right.
So it buys another year, if you will. So just be cautious that way.
Yeah. Understood.
So Dr. Miller just presented something that we were, I didn't expect to hear. We are.
My boss, but that's all right.
Hopefully you will still have your position on Monday.
I can tell you, Vivian Exion is sending cookies as we speak.
But this is a large amount of money. We had questions here today for clarification. I think if we're truly going to be transparent in terms of what we're doing, then to make decisions today about distribution is rash. I would submit that we have time to digest this information and for all of us to come back and be prepared to make a presentation regarding what our plans would be for that funding.
Okay, that would be for the three districts. That would be for you three districts. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That is correct.
No, not us. We're excluded.
Right, and LACCD is excluded.
Yeah, so for the three districts, okay. For the $1.8 million.
So I'm going to respectfully disagree.
8.1.
Yeah, I'm going to respectfully disagree with Burbank because the stakes are just so much higher for LAUSD. I want to remind us that when we submit these agendas and it goes out to the public and there's an action item on there, again, I'm not an expert in the Brown Act yet, but what it tells me is that each of us needs to come prepared to take action on those items. And so I'm not comfortable, and nor would I support any deferral on any action that's listed on this agenda for action. I think as a board, we owe it to our constituents, to the public, our students, our staff, all the folks that are depending on us to make these important decisions, these tough, hard decisions that Dan has had to work with his district. And as Dan mentioned, putting together this proposal in a quick turnaround so that he could get it to this board to make a decision. Otherwise, we could have said, well, take your time, Dan. We're not, So I don't agree. I think we need to take action as we have agreed and as we've put on the agenda. Again, I'm more than happy, and I do have staff here prepared to do a snapshot of what LAUSD's budget, what we're facing into next year in terms of, everyone on the board knows exactly what we're asking for and why we're asking for it, and it's to sustain, not to grow. And we also have some data that we can share in terms of student outcomes. So we're not asking for money as a bailout. We're not asking for money because we, lost it or we misplaced it somewhere or, whatever. We're asking to be supported given our mission to sustain adult ed and the fact that there are funds available. There are funds here now on the table as presented by Montebello. And I feel very strongly, I owe it to the people I represent to make a decision today.
Well, I certainly don't. I'm not here to pick a fight or anything like that, but just to state my opinion and the opinion of the folks that I represent. And this is a lot of money. Making a decision of that kind today is what happens to people that win the lottery and a year later have nothing to show for it. I think that there needs to be a little bit of time to process this and to determine what would be the best use of this money. I know that this was on the agenda, but certainly 8.1 8-0 within this time frame is a lot to consider.
Yeah. If this were the first time that we were talking about this issue, I would agree with you. But we all know that, you know, this has been in play and this has been coming for quite some time. I don't think it's a rash decision. I can tell you it wouldn't be for LAUSD. We, you know, have spent a lot of time preparing, thoughtfully preparing for this day, for this meeting. Today I had staff working on various scenarios and data, and I don't think we're at all making, at least from LAUSD's point of view, making any kind of a rash decision. I think I feel fully prepared to put forward a proposal for a vote today, given what Montebello has shared per what the agreement was for the agenda.
May I interject? You know, I actually tried to prepare myself with the LEREC staff or the LEREC office staff as best as possible. We did create a template that would tell us how much everybody would get, including the community college. So then that would determine what each district would get based on the amounts that have been quoted at this point. The community college portion then could be decided at a later time, right, as to how that's distributed for the three remaining districts. But we do have the ability, based on the allocation formula that has been used so far, to determine how much. And I'm not saying that that's what you guys should adopt. That'll give you at least some sense, right, of what the amounts are.
What would happen if we applied the formula, removing from it Montebello and LACCD, then with that net amount, apply the formula again and see where the numbers land?
Yeah, that's basically how we set up the template, except that we only removed Montebello,
right?
Because Montebello was not supposed to be figured into the redistributing.
Right.
I don't know if we have the capability of doing what you're suggesting on the spot.
Well, so who's an Excel expert in the room? Because I'm proposing that we get it on the board, and I say we hash it out right now or whenever we get to that action item.
Well, so I have one little concern about your reference to the LEREC office, because as far as I know, we don't have a LEREC office. So the people that you talked about that helped with developing this concept that you just said are all LAUSD employees. And so who's had access to this thing that you're just saying that you had some people work on? Because my district did not. So I would be a little concerned if that's in fact what has happened, is that I'm glad that I understand you have to work on some kind of formula completely, but I don't have access to it to process it. Like, I have that.
Well, this is the formula that Lanzi's talking about.
No, he said he plugged in the...
Yeah, I created a template.
Template. So this is the template. This
right.
is the template that we've been working on.
Something similar to that.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
Okay.
Well, and we didn't have the numbers, so...
Yes, exactly.
So I'm curious to know what the numbers would look like. I'm open to looking at what the numbers would look like in the scenario you just described. Not agreeing to them, just willing to look at them.
Okay, so since we're not in an action items point yet, so as part of the discussion, I'd like to propose that we put this data on the board so we can have everybody have a look at it. Taking into consideration, and if we need to take maybe a short break, I don't know what the protocol is, you know, while that's happening, because this is the hot topic of the day, obviously.
Right.
So
yes, and all right, so that's the template over there. As you can see, it has some of the, oh my God, we cannot see very well. But, you know, basically it has the numbers that we all been using at MOE. It has consortia funding, you know, and it also has the percentages of the distribution of the current allocations, right? Based on what every district receives, there is a certain percent according to the entire total of the allocation that the consortium receives. So for example, Burbank Unified is
2.04.
Exactly. And Culver City, 1.256, so on and so forth. So that's basically the point, right? Now, what we did, if I may, we removed the 12% that Montebello currently receives as part of their allocation, okay? And proportionally, we added that to everybody's allocation, right? So that made Culver City, or Burbank, if you will, go from 2% to 2.3. And it made Culver City go from 1.2 to 1.46. Okay, and so if we put the numbers in the green line, whatever amount we put in there, it will calculate immediately the amount of funding that every district will receive. So, for example, let's start. We start with the 4 points. Go ahead, put in $1,000.
Just using it as an example, if you put in $1,000, you're going to see over here the amount of returned funding for these districts. So it's just an example.
Well, you had it with $25,000. Well, so it's already in there.
Should we plug in the 8.1 million? We're plugging in the 8.1 million.
Yeah. Don't change it now before Bob changes his mind.
May I suggest, we need to do this in two stages, if you don't mind, because it does affect the formula that we need to submit to the state next year, right? So the one-time funding, let's put that one in there. Can we enter, please, $4,665,367.95? $4,665,367.95.
68.
I'm just going by the exact number.
Veronica, okay. Good for the 5 cents. Yeah. Good for the nickel.
All right, so let me get a little closer. I'm sorry. The amount that would be distributed to Burbank would be $105,556. The amount for Culver City, $64,192. The amount for for Community College is $315,386. The amount for Los Angeles Unified is $4,172,946.
So, Lanzi.
Yes.
All right. So, sorry, Mr. Estudios, we have to keep decorum here. All right, so we know that Culver City and Burbank are looking at this and saying, you know, Veronica, what am I going to do with 64K, right? All right, Burbank, what am I going to do with 125K or 105K? All right, so if we can look at then, I mean, I think we have to look at, what do you need? I don't know what you need. I can show you what I need at LAUSD. Right. I think we need to look at a needs-based versus trying to be even Steven, because it's not going to be even Steven. It needs to be based on what you need to sustain.
There's another approach, and that's the approach that we used for the distribution, that the point persons and I used for the distribution of the 1.2.
Yeah, so let me finish, because I think we're probably on the same page. So if we take then LACCD's portion, which they've tithed to LARIC, which I'm going to be baking cookies for Dr. Miller and
for the rest of the school year.
And we look at a base then that could be added per CCUSD and BUSD need, if they brought that today, hopefully they did, in terms of what they need for next year, I'd like to propose that maybe we could, that could be part of this distribution formula.
Yeah.
And if that would be something that would be acceptable to...
And that was the point that I was going to make. Okay. We used a base for that distribution as well.
Right. And there's precedent for doing that type of distribution as well.
So what would that mean? Burbank and Culver City, let's just say that they have a number in mind, they know what they need, okay. and they put the number. We know that Veronica said that. How does that comport with what you just said about the base and whatever the percentage is?
Well, I mean, I think so. There's a couple different approaches. So if we have a base in mind that we want to use with the percentage, I mean, we can talk percentages and formulas all day long. I mean, I think ultimately what we want to hear, and I'm happy we have staff ready to present on LAUSD's behalf, what do you need? Because these are one-time funds. Mm-hmm. LAUSD is accessing one-time funds aside from AEBG to get us whole for next year. I can't tell you what it's going to be like the following year, but I'm looking at next year, staying whole for next year. So I can tell you exactly the number that I need. And so as we're looking at one-time funds here, one idea would be to do a base plus a percentage, or you could just let us know, what do you need? And we could go from there.
Right. I mean, as far as the base, I just want to add that is a known quantity. That's how the state distributed funds to the consortia with the MOE, I believe. There were some consortia that were so small that their percentage would have been insignificant for them to do anything with their...
like 1.2?
and so the state felt that it was necessary to add a base so that everybody get at least, you know, a reasonable amount of funding so that they could implement an adult education program. And that's the rationale for including a base if necessary.
So what percentage is the base of the whole? What is the base cash amount? What is the base?
And I think that's what Mr. Stark is referring to. You know, maybe we can establish a base based on the need that each one of the districts, but the base could be anything. The state used an arbitrary amount of $750,000. So when we look at the distribution of MOE for the consortia, you'll see several consortia that have $750,000. For the original distribution. Now, I'm not, you know, and to me, that's an arbitrary number. They did not have an explanation for it.
Yeah. I apologize. I don't mean to be rude or curt. I'm just going to cut to the chase. If it's okay, because, you know, we're trying to have a discussion in theory without actual data and what you need. So I had staff prepare exactly what LAUSD's fiscal snapshot is and what we need. What's the dollar we're looking for? And it may come partially out of this. It may come partially out of the redistribution. But without actually having the district say, this is what we need and here's why we need it, then we're going to be, I mean, I'm assuming good intentions here, but this is not about trying to hold out to get the best dollar, right? What I'm trying to say is we have a very clear number that we're trying to get to maintain and sustain specific programs. So if we want to do it now, if that's okay, or later, I think at some point each of the districts that's, you know, looking to receive more money next year, I think it's really important to be transparent about what that's going to be. What is that going towards? And I can tell you from LAUSD's standpoint, you know, we're not just looking to LERIC to bail us out. That's not what we're doing at all. We're utilizing a number of other options, including cuts. This doesn't mitigate cuts. There's going to be cuts. But it gets us whole to where, you know, it's not, you know, cutting deeper than I think we should have to cut. We want to sustain programs. That's our goal. That's our mission. And I think with the money that's right here on the table already, I think Culver City and Burbank have every opportunity to get what they need, from my point of view. So I'm going to ask the board, you know, would you like to see what LAUSD wants to propose, or do we want to wait?
Well, we need to move forward. Number one, we need to move forward. From, we need to move forward from the actual presentation. Let's get on with from the presentation that's been now submitted. The money is now on the table, so we need to move forward from there. So that item number one is gone. So number two, you're determining a formula to reallocate. That is upon the three districts now of where you're at, because of the fact that myself, Montebello Unified, and LACCD are now out of that formula. So, and that's an item that should be discussed, or that's what you're trying to discuss, and we still haven't come up with that.
Right.
So that's where we're at.
Right.
So, and I would like to see action taken on the item that I was when I presented for Craig to see where we're at and where we're going.
So,
just like how you need your money, we want to know where we're at, where we're going, what we propose. So we need to move forward.
So the first action item is, am I to understand, the first action item is to vote on the $8.1 million for this year and for next year from Montebello.
Correct. So it's not $8.1 million for this year and next year. Let's make sure we... It's one-time funds of 4.6 for
this year.
Now. Right. Which, when I say now, it's basically for LAUSD, it's going to go into next year's budget. We're in budget planning. Mm-hmm. We're not going to spend it in this fiscal year. It's going to be for next fiscal year. Then we have the the 1.8 then, plus just 1.8 then for next year.
That's now as well.
1.8 plus then the additional.
So the 4.6 and 1.8 is what gets us to the 8.1 that we're saying. And then for 18-19, what is it? Tell me what the number is for
18-19. 1.880843.
Another 1.8.
So for this year, for this year, we're looking at 4.6, the top number,
plus,
and plus the...
I can read.
It's 1.6 plus 1.8.
It's 1.269155.
Plus 1.8.
6.3 right now, correct? 6.3 right now. 6.3 today.
Because we need to delineate what's the one time and then what's the ongoing.
Yes. That's,
so
that,
the one
yes,
time,
that's what my question is.
The one time is 4.6. What's the total for the ongoing?
The total for the ongoing is 1.269155.05.
So, but that doesn't take you to 12.4. 15.953 is your allocation minus.
No. No, here's what you're doing. You're first subtracting 6.3 million.
Yes.
Okay, you're taking out 4.6.
Right.
Whatever that is.
Right.
What is that? Somebody's good in math here.
Here it is.
1.7.
Okay, 1.7. Thanks, Andrea. CTE teacher every time. All right. Former CTE teacher. All right, 1.6 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We add then 1.8, correct? And then that becomes the ongoing going into next year.
No, I need to point out that the data and accountability funding
is also
is a one-time.
Also, the 365
ongoing,
which all the districts are returning the data and accountability money that we talked about.
Okay, so then it's 1.2. You're saying.
And the additional every. So I see if it's 1.2
plus 1.8
for next year, plus 1.8. So that's 2 million.
No, 3 million.
So
3 million ongoing, correct?
Yes.
3 million ongoing, 4.6.
So that's how 15.9 gets to 12.4. 3 million ongoing.
So we're clear on that.
Okay.
Got it. That makes sense.
Okay.
All right. So as a matter of practicality, we do have a long agenda, and we're very on the first.
I'd like to move that we accept Montebello's proposal in which they've determined the specific amount for adult ed that is to return to LARIC.
Okay.
I think we need to say out loud what that specific thing is for 17-18 and 18-19.
Okay. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's 18-19 because I'm not using any of it right now. I'm in budget development for next year. So I think we can look at this as determining what we want to call one-time funds versus ongoing redistribution, correct?
Exactly. So okay.
So I would say with one-time funds to be distributed on or before June 30th, right, this year, okay, 2018, okay, to the Lyric districts, okay, and we haven't gotten to that yet, but that's what's, you know. Then the three-point-something, whatever it is, to then be redistributed 18-19 fiscal year moving forward.
Right. So with one-time funds to be distributed by June 30th, 2018?
Yes.
Okay, and that's going to be, the dollar amount is $4,665,000. We're recording it on the wall, if you would. $4,665,368.
Okay, and it's going to be distributed to the three districts.
Yes. Hang on a second, Leanna. And $365,477 to be distributed to BUSD, CCUSD, and LAUSD.
Or a formula to be determined?
That would be on the next action item.
Why can't we just add it to this?
This?
Yeah. So how about this? For a formula to be determined and approved by the LARIC board. Does that work?
Yep.
Okay. So I'll second that motion.
There is the matter of the, do you guys want to include in here? I think we should include in here the 1.8, right?
Do that.
No, that could be distributed next year.
For the following.
But this, can we just take them into two actions or do we want to put them into one action?
I think we should. I think there really are two actions,
I think,
because
so
there's the one action of distributing the one-time funds.
Right.
There's the other action of distributing the ongoing,
okay,
which is
fair
going
enough
to be a redistribution moving forward.
Correct.
All right.
1.8.
Perfect. So then the motion becomes.
So I would just clarify that by saying, but with the Montebello Unified School District, 2017-18. At the beginning of that, where it says at the top of one-time funds, I would put in with the 2017-18 MUSD return one-time funds, because that's what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or we can just take out the with and say the 2017-18 MUSD return one-time funds will be distributed, etc.
Okay, so the motion is on display. Do you guys want to take a vote on the motion as agreed?
There's a motion.
We're going to try to put it on the same page so that we can see it all at once.
Do I have that one?
Thank you, Ms. Matsumoto.
I would say instead of to be distributed, will be distributed by June 30th. No. One line up. There you go. Thank you.
Okay, so We are changing the way the agenda was originally written. Can I have a motion to change the order of items in the agenda?
So moved.
So moved. Second?
Second.
Okay, can we have a vote to change
aye.
The order of the agenda?
Aye.
Thank you. That's unanimous. So now we have a motion to be voted on. Can I have somebody to move the motion, please?
Okay. I'd like to move that the 1718 MUSD return one-time funds will be redistributed by June 30, 2018. $4,665,368 and $365,477 to be distributed to BUSD, CCUSD, and LAUSD per formula to be determined and approved by the LERIC board.
Okay. Can I have a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. That's unanimous. And we move on to the distribution. Oh, we need to have the second amount. Which is the ongoing funds, right? Okay. So if we can actually copy basically the same thing, and then we'll just change ongoing funds for one time, and then we'll change the amounts. Everybody okay with that?
And the amounts are again, how much?
It's 1.2 plus 1.8.
It's 1.269155.
And this is ongoing?
Yes.
Correct.
And
1.88. I'm not sure that LAPCD can be that magnanimous that far into the future.
Absolutely. We can indicate in there that the formula to be determined as well, right?
Right, but I think it's, that the top one was fine because it was one time. The $3 million ongoing is something we need further consideration to think about as our programs grow and develop. Two very important points here. The first one is we're saving jobs and we're helping students. By the reallocation of this money to get
yes.
it immediately into the classrooms, immediately help students, immediately do what we're supposed to be doing. So that's what the first one is about. The second point is that LACCD is being what we are on this because we are not in a position today to use those monies effectively in support of students and jobs.
Absolutely.
A year from now, we definitely will be, so we don't want to necessarily give up this revenue permanently.
Absolutely.
So, then it's...
We'll just need to add LACCD as to be distributed to...
Add it back into the team.
Yes. Exactly.
The part of the
exactly.
Point.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We understood it was a one-time fund thing. Thank you, and we appreciate it. I think the consortium appreciates it. So if you can just copy that, and then we will rework the...
So may I ask this? Notwithstanding the need just to move on, is it absolutely essential that we deal with this one today, or can we defer this to the next meeting once we have time to get the wording right and make sure everybody's happy with it? I don't know, for your planning purposes, Joe, that's certainly everybody's intent is to do it that way.
I think my concern is procedural, right? I think it depends on when the next meeting is, simply because we do have that deadline to inform the state when, what the funding allocation is going to be.
Then I would say that it would not be, my opinion, responsible of us as a board to make a motion on something we can't see and feel in touch right now. So I would ask that it be drafted, getting up, placed up there, and then we can reconsider. We can consider it when we see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No disrespect, but I think we have to
absolutely.
Actually see what it says.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she can work on that while we maybe do something else.
Okay.
Diana, do you feel comfortable reworking that?
I have the numbers.
So I'm putting action item A1B because it's the second.
Perfect, yes. And so return
1.269155.
Ongoing instead of one time. Okay. The next item on the agenda as we're moving forward would be the item number 3, still on Montebello, in terms of the report. And basically, I would like to ask the board to take a look at the A, B, C, and D items included. Those are the requirements for the Montebello report that will be provided to the consortium on a quarterly basis until the audit issue is cleared, I would imagine. So on your agendas, we have effective immediately, Eric, we require quarterly reports, so on and so forth. And then we have what is to be included in there, which is A, B, C, and D.
And are we trying to take a motion on that statement?
Exactly. So basically, is it sufficient? Do we need to add more? Do we need to remove?
Yeah, one... not really concerned, but just comment is, you know, do we have these things defined?
We do not have them defined, as far as I know.
Yes, they have not been defined. These are just general terms at this time.
So, I mean, clearly, as a consortium and as member districts in the consortium, we're all really supposed to be demonstrating, you know, we're all supposed to be demonstrating these, but I don't know as, you know, as a consortium, if we've really defined what they are yet. I'm happy to approve it, the item, with the understanding that we need to develop specific metrics on these items to be voted on at a future meeting. And maybe we can have staff, like have staff provide some recommendations on what those metrics might be, consulting with subject matter experts, et cetera, and bringing that to a future board meeting for action.
Okay.
I would, you want to put that in the form of a motion, I would say. Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember what I just said. I think it sounded good.
I think we need a body break.
Okay. You effectively said that... you effectively said that you would move what is stated in item number 3 with the caveat that all districts would participate in the same manner and that we would ask staff to recommend appropriate metrics that we could all be measured by.
Great. Yeah, that was it.
And then consider it.
Okay, but they weren't listening, so we can't.
I think you're supported.
Right, so... effectively, immediately, clerics will require quarterly reports from Montebello Health Division to provide at least updates on or to provide a minimum updates on. And then we have the four elements, and then it's the board recommends that
staff
the point-person team or staff
recommends metrics for each of those.
Okay. That great.
Staff recommend metrics for each of the items above.
Well, I think C and
or
D are a little bit easier because it's connected to RCP.
Right.
It's
right.
A and B that are the ones that don't have a definition.
Fine.
Right.
So, yeah, you're going to have to work on it. It'll have more. So, yeah, I mean, even if we already in some way agree with these,
yes. Each of the items
And some of these things, we already know what they are because they were oftentimes cited in the audit. So I would think that part of their updates would consist of what their enrollment is.
Correct.
The duplicated and unduplicated, and then breaking it down by the various programs, AB, ASC, CTE, ESL. So things like that. I think that's actually contained within the audit report. So if we go back to that and look at the areas that they cited, then that would be something that Montebello could come back quarterly and say, you know, here's what our enrollment figures are, here's what our staffing figures are, although that probably won't change every quarter, but certainly the enrollment would, or attendance.
If I can make a comment, and I understand Montebello is going to be held accountable for quarterly reports, but in the future, all LERIC members will be held accountable with quarterly reports.
Right, and I think that was what we put up there.
And I don't know when that will take effect, but I feel, you know, just to show transparency across the board.
Yeah, and I think,
if I may say, we already are being held accountable by quarterly reports. That's what the T system is supposed to do. As we update the system, then reports can be generated and presented to the board.
And if I may, because we're dealing with Montebello today, this has to be Montebello specific. Mm-hmm. But after we're done with that, we certainly would come back and apply the same standards to every one of us.
Totally agree.
And the state would obviously hold us accountable anyway for all of these.
Thanks.
But I understand your sensitivity, but
understandable.
For the purposes of the audit, we're trying to deal with the Montebello situation.
Exactly. So can we show the last part of the statement, please? Okay, so basically we have the four elements that we have already listed in here. The added item is the board recommends the staff identify metrics for each of the items above. Do I have a motion to submit this to a vote?
I motion.
Okay. Can I have a second, please?
Second.
Okay. May I? Can I call a vote?
Yep. All in favor.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. So that's unanimous. And then we move on to the next item on the agenda. Thank you. Okay, the next item on the agenda includes...
Thank you, folks, very, very, very much.
Yeah, thank you.
A great weekend.
The next item on the agenda basically is just an approval to proceed. The board had requested that we look into the possibility of hiring an auditor so that, you know, to help us with implementing appropriate accounting procedures. And so that the LERIC portion of the consortium, the umbrella, becomes audit-proof as well. I was provided with three leads from Dr. Miller. I was also provided with one lead from Ted Nelson, which works for the Los Angeles Unified School District. I reached out to four firms. I explained to them basically that what we need is assistance with the development of an audit-proof consortium policies and procedures or internal controls, including procedures designed to address state auditors' findings applicable to LERIC from the Montebello audit. And then the other element was for them to do an audit on a yearly basis, starting with next year's cycle. I thought it was important for us to firm up our procedures first and then submit ourselves to an audit. A couple of the people that I spoke with suggested the same thing. So at this point, then the motion is to proceed with the hiring procedures. Basically, what that entails is we will get reports on what the firms intend to help us with, how they intend to do it, and the cost and a schedule of activities, and then we'll present that to the board to come up with a final decision.
Yes. Yeah, so maybe this item might need to change a little bit. In other words, we all agree that an independent auditor is going to be required based on the findings.
Yes.
But we're not obviously prepared to hire anybody right now.
Correct.
We're going to be waiting for staff to propose recommendations after doing essentially what amounts to an informal process in terms of a bid and so forth.
So LERIC will engage in...
Well, how about the LERIC board... LERIC board directed staff to secure proposals from an independent auditor to review performance and fiscal activity.
Great.
And to make recommendations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
The LERIC board directed staff.
Direct
staff. The motion is LERIC board. LERIC board direct staff to issue an RFP, or actually the better yet, the subject support, to secure proposals.
Is there any, to make it simple and say that LARIC will engage in the process of hiring so that it's...
Yeah, let me finish. The LARIC board directs staff to secure proposals, get rid of the issue in RFP. That's what we want to do. Secure proposals. To hire an independent auditor. To review performance and fiscal activity.
Perfect.
Okay. Therefore, direct staff to hear proposals to hire an independent auditor to review performance and fiscal activities, and then to make a recommendation to the board for the hiring of an auditor. Of an audit firm. For the hiring of an audit firm. Not the best, but close enough, I think.
Excellent. But that allows us to move forward with the process. You will still decide which of firms, once we get the proposal, we'll share with you at an open, at the next open meeting.
I will.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you. Second, can I call a vote, please? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. So that's unanimous. We can move on to the next item. Thank you. Okay. The next agenda item has to do with proposal that was submitted to us by Brigitte Marshall to provide facilitation services for the district. A summary of the proposal has been distributed and is part of the handouts. What she will be helping LARIC to do is a combination of strategic and three-year planning activities and state audit response support. The work will involve the point persons team, the executive team, and everybody together as needed. She is proposing the amount that she proposed for 1 year. Or the cost is for 1 year, and basically she will work. She'll be working with either one of the groups mentioned two times per month, or 2 days per month.
So one issue might be that although we may all, and having worked with her in the past, be very happy with services, you know, rendered in the past, one consideration might be, you know, if someone were to ask me, hey, is this a good price for this person? I don't know that I could really answer that, because I don't know if we've done the required kind of due diligence. So I'm wondering if it might be necessary to, again, I'm not trying to create more work for people, but again, given the fact that we are responsible for public funds, do we need to, this is a question for the board, do you think we might need to go out for, whether it's an informal or formal process, with the scope of work and all those kind of things, just to make sure we're getting a good deal?
Absolutely. I think we as a board have got to look at staff recommendations as well as add our own recommendations as to exactly what it is that we want done, develop a scope of work from that, and issue a request for quotations to whatever bodies do that. I don't, on the basis of this piece of paper, I'm not prepared to authorize $132,000.
Agreed.
Yes, I also, there's a staff member that would like to add some comments to that effect as well. Would that be all right with the board?
Well, I actually want to say that additionally, that when we look at this, this would have to fundamentally change for the future, because at any point in time that we involve the executive team in any kind of work like this, the public would have to be invited.
Correct.
So, this really, if just for that alone, it has to go back and redone, and we do need to secure other proposals.
Okay. Is it okay if staff addresses the board?
Yes.
Again, Adrienne Mullins, the record. I agree. I'm so glad you were hopefully arrived at this decision, because I think the proposal is very sparse with no mention of deliverables. The cost of facilitation and prep appear to be high, again, with no tangible deliverables. And I would like it to be tabled, which it sounds like it may be, until we can go back and look at a more robust proposal as well as other services. I think any of us would have a difficult time facilitating this contract because it's not a sole source provider. Thank you.
I agree.
Okay, so may I, just in terms of the facilitator services, we are, if I hear correctly, basically the suggestion from the board or the directive from the board is for staff to prepare an RFP for review by the executive board in anticipation of its release for facilitation services.
Correct.
Is that correct?
I think it has to be more than facilitation, because if you're going to pay these type of dollars, when we did this round one to help us write the grant, we got drafts in writing that we were able to lift directly from the notes and the context to put into our round one, you know, our regional conference plan. But I think it's beyond facilitation. I think if we're going to go out, we need to look beyond someone to facilitate a meeting. We need someone to help us move the agenda, the item forward into actual completion. And that's more than facilitating a process.
Yeah, and I don't know. Other boards I've sat at and as a staff member to my board, we don't bring actions to the board unless we're very clear on what it is that's going to occur. So if we're hiring someone to help us write our state plan, that's a very specific thing. That's unless we're hiring an in-house facilitator to help us with whatever, we even need a list of what whatever is. I don't know what we get. Staff will prepare an RFP to discuss proposal for facilitation services to be provided by CEES. I don't know what is facilitation services. What does that mean?
Right. So if I may, I mean, you know, this is all tied into the facilitation services that this particular individual has already been provided. So several months ago, she provided us with a plan that we've been on a, you know, almost monthly basis sort of completing, right? As she is moving to another organization, then she wanted to give us the option of continuing with these services into the future, you know, before her calendar fills out. Okay, well, so that's why, you know, her proposal is sparse, because yeah. It was just a matter of, are you interested in these services? Yeah. And if so, you know, let's begin to fill out some, dates on her calendar.
It was a continuation of what we were already getting, but because she's attached to a company now, it has to go a little different.
Yeah. Well, and I also think the consensus seems to be that this is a good opportunity for the LARIC board and with staff to really look at what our needs really are at this point. And if, in fact, if it's just facilitation, which to me implies more guidance, not necessarily doing some of the work, that we may or may not have staff, you know, available or ready to do. I mean, so I think that's where, from a needs-based standpoint, we need to know kind of what work needs to be done.
Exactly.
And then that's where the scope of work and everything comes in.
$48,000 to $250 an hour is 192 hours. Okay, what is she going to do for 192 hours? What are we going to do in 192 hours? And then this prep cost, $69,000, right, divided by 180 is, you know, another 383 hours. Well, what is she preparing? What are the projects that we're trying to get done? What are we trying to do with the $132,000? To give her a blanket guarantee of $132,000 without us first knowing specifically what it is she should be delivering, it seems like the cart is way out in front of the horse.
Yeah.
technical term, sorry.
And so staff is amenable to do whatever the board would like it to do. You know, we're trying to get direction. Do we need these facilitation
so
services, or do we not?
Here's what I would recommend.
Yes.
You bring back to the board specific requests for funding to support very specific projects in need.
Okay.
And that we would then, my recommendation, we would then consider a very specific project or need and a budget attached to that and whether or not we want to.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
A very broad-based thing. I agree,
and there needs so to Dr. Miller's point, the deliverables have to be very clear, you know, what we're actually getting for the money and is it actually meeting our needs. So I think that's where staff, and particularly the point people, can really be quite valuable, obviously weighing in terms of what do we have the capacity to do with existing staff from all of our districts, given, you know, juxtaposed against the work that has to be done for the three-year plan, which is considerable, and then, you know, we go from there. After we've done that analysis, then it seems to me a scope of work with deliverables and everything we're talking about can then be proposed.
You brought back a specific proposal on developing a three-year plan for X dollars. I'd be the first one to say
thank you. So staff will prepare an RFP for specific facilitation and writing needs for specific projects.
Well, we don't need to take any action.
You know,
I think we've
I just have to say that the word, as I look at this here, and it isn't just I looking at this, it's the public looking at this, that word facilitation could be interpreted many different ways. It could be like, you know, we're not getting along and we need somebody to facilitate how we sing Kumbaya together. I mean, there's a lot of different words here. So I think this needs to be very detailed. We know that one of these things has to be the three-year plan.
So why don't we...
That has to be, and I think we should spell that out as one of the things. The other thing that I want to be very clear about is whatever format we were utilizing with her in the past... cannot work in the future.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So that also has to be clear, and we need to communicate that to her because she may have prepared this under the auspice of continuing to function as we had, but that's no longer going to be the case.
So, you know, I would offer this. Staff will prepare a solicitation in support of the development of our three-year plan, and bring proposals back to the board for consideration.
Perfect. Second.
Proposals back.
Or bring a recommendation out of that, and bring a recommendation back to the board for consideration.
That's fun. Well, that's
you might get five proposals and you really like two and you only want to bring two back. Or you really want to like one.
Okay. So that's the action item on the board. Do I have somebody submitting the motion?
So moved.
Second.
So moved. Second.
We need to do a roll call vote on these.
Okay, so let me call a vote then, starting with the Community College District.
Aye.
Okay, Burbank?
Aye.
Culver City?
Aye.
Aye.
LAUSD and Montevideo?
Aye.
So it is unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Moving on to the next item. The next item is approval of the LERIC data. Approval of the LERIC office staff funding proposal. So to provide a little bit of background on this, last time we presented to the board a plan for staffing a LERIC office. The plan was approved. We have had some contingencies with regards to some of the staff members which are still in the first committee as they are being hired through LAUSD. But we do have two positions that have been approved, and then the board requested that we, the point persons team, come up with a way to distribute the cost among the members of the consortium. That is the handout that was presented to the board. And again, this is using the same distribution formula that we've been talking about. And it lists how much each district would be responsible for in terms of the cost for the LERIC office. Any questions?
So this is where LAUSD gets to be magnanimous?
This is where LAUSD gets to be magnanimous, yes, sir.
We're on video, I can't help being.
For the rest of the audience that is wondering what that means, you know, that's just more of an internal joke there. Any questions or comments? So may I then submit the item as is for the consideration of the board? Would anybody like to motion?
I motion.
Motion. Can I have a second, please?
Second.
Okay. Can I call a vote? Can it be a voice?
I think they're all roll call votes, right?
They're all roll
call votes.
They're all roll calls. I'm sorry. Okay. So Los Angeles Community College District.
Aye.
Burbanks.
Aye.
Culver City.
Aye.
Los Angeles District School District.
Magnanimous aye.
And Burbank. I'm sorry, Montebello.
Aye.
Getting late, folks. By the way, as a matter of fact, we are exceeding the time that we had originally scheduled. Is everybody okay with continuing our
yes.
agenda?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Thank you. So unanimous approval for the cost distribution. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the LERIC data and accountability withdrawn RFP funds for a distribution formula that, again, the point persons team developed. That is included in the next item on the same handout. And in here, as explained before, we actually use a base amount, which is $50,000, so that the smaller districts get, you know, a somewhat significant amount of money as opposed to, you know, a tiny fraction of the funds. Okay. Are there any questions?
I have a point for clarification. So Montebello, it says 57,098. However, we've already have put in this proposal that we're returning.
I'm sorry, 179.
179.
Yeah.
We already proposed that we're returning our accountability and data funding mm-hmm. in our proposal. So that will not be valid. That number is incorrect. Correct me if I'm wrong.
With all due respect, this amount was in play before the monies were returned. So because we're using, you know, we're acting chronologically, if you will, you would still receive a certain amount of money. Now, you can defer or you can indicate that you do not want to receive any of those funds, and it will be distributed to the other districts. But if it's okay with the board, we would like to leave the proposal as is.
Okay.
We will make a notation that Montebello would like to redistribute those funds to the rest of the district. Would that work?
We already put in the proposal of the 300 plus of accountability money. Now, I need clarification.
This
so the 364, is this an additional 179? Or is this part, is this part of the 364?
Let me walk it back a little bit.
Okay.
If you'll remember, the state distributed $4.6 million to LERIC for data and accountability.
Right.
One of those funds have already been distributed to each one of the districts. $1.26 million were retained by, actually Burbank has the funds currently, to enact an RFP, or to pay for an RFP. Since then, that RFP has been called back or withdrawn, and now we have the funds that we need to distribute to the member districts.
Okay.
And the executive board asked us to come up with a formula, and this is the formula that
okay.
we came up with.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Yes.
So that's aside from the monies that...
Okay, I'm not... Montebello will not defer the 179.
No, I...
Okay. Yeah, I'm like, okay.
We wouldn't let you do it.
Thank you. Thanks.
We're going to override you on that.
All right. We can override you. Good. All right. Good enough.
Nice offer, but we would cookies, too.
Good enough. Got
okay.
it.
Okay. Everybody okay? So the action item is on the board approval of the Larry Bennett and our ability to withdraw our pre-fund distribution formula. Can I have a motion to...
I motion that LARIC approve the data and accountability funding formula as presented.
Second.
Thank you. Second, I will call a vote then. LACCD?
Yes.
BUSD?
Yes.
CCUSD?
Aye.
LAUSD?
Aye.
And MUSD?
Aye.
Thank you. I'm getting better at this.
So when we catch up to you, we'll let you know.
Okay. Moving on to the next item, LARIC fee policy. Basically, the state put together a fees policy for the adult education program in the state for the consortium. That fee policy has been published. The fee, which, by the way, LARIC members were prominent in participating in the committee in the state, pretty much emulates what the LARIC members are already doing. And so the motion is simply to adopt the state AEDG policy to be LARIC's policy. Are there any questions?
I have a question. So do we have that authority? I mean, if we're all funded by AEDG, I'm not aware that we would even have the authority to say whether we get to or not. It's a state mandate. Is that correct?
That is correct.
By receiving AEBG money, you're basically saying you have to comply with the policy.
Okay.
Yes.
So then that's an unnecessary
so this is an information.
Well, actually, my question is on page 2, where it has on the second sentence, at the very top, K-12 adult CTE fee structure must be included in the consortia annual plan. And I wanted to make sure that that was... that's there?
This policy came out after the current annual plan was created, so it is not currently there.
So let me take credit for, I wanted this on the agenda for this reason.
That is true.
There's two things. Our AEBG process is evolving. It is much different today than what it was in 2014, and I submit it will be very different 2 years from now. And one of the things that struck me was two. One is, of course, not on the agenda. I won't comment on that. But this is one of those. And so my concern is that we are aware of what they're requiring, that we place this fee structure in the annual plan so that we don't omit that now as we go forward. And I don't know whether they're talking about that within that plan that each individual district include what its CTE fee structure is, or whether it's an average of what the consortia fees are for CTE. I don't know. But I do know that this language here, everything else I was cool with, but this here struck me as, wow, this to me anyway, this seemed like something new.
So would we need to get clarification from the state, perhaps, on that item?
We can if that's something that you guys would like to do.
Yeah, I think it would be good to, at least I would propose that we contact the ABG office regarding that fee structure and whether that is as a consortium or whether it is by individual district members of the consortium. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so basically then the directive is reach out to the AEBG state office to determine if the CTE fees apply to the consortium or each district can have their own policy. Correct?
Or whether in our annual plan, because this is what this refers to, that's included,
yes.
Whether in that annual plan, whether that fee structure is an average of consortium members, you follow me, or whether it is, this is what Burbank CTE fee structure is, here's what Culver City's is, well, sorry, Culver City doesn't have that. here's what LAUSD is, here's what Montebello, and here's LACCDs. And then to that be reported back at our next open meeting.
So, recommendation then is reach out to the AEDG office to determine the extent to which each district key policy needs to be included in the yearly plan. Close enough?
Great.
The extent to which each member district key policy needs to be included in the district. The policy needs to be included in the annual plan, exactly. And this is a directive. It's really not an item for to vote on. Correct me if I'm wrong, please. Right?
Right. Information.
Yes. Yeah. So it's informational only. So we will, so what do we do with the action item?
It's just a, I think it's just a directing staff to
right, exactly. But we did have an action item in the agenda, so do we cancel that action item?
Good question. Well, we can just say, you know, we're all in agreement, I guess, in the, we... Accept the state policy as...
Strike the item from the agenda.
Stricken from
the agenda.
No,
okay.
The one we
need.
We need
two-thirds
for that one, right?
Yeah.
I'm learning.
Okay, so can I call a vote on striking the item from the agenda?
Okay.
So, LACCD?
Aye.
CUSD?
Aye.
CCUSD?
Aye.
LUSD? And MUSD?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, moving right along to item G. The item reads Brown Act training for point person, team, and staff. As we move into a new era where the AEBG office has imposed the Brown Act, or has recognized that the Brown Act should apply to all consortia, and we are all now required to meet the requirements of the Act, with the point person's team and staff is requesting the authority to look into retaining training for into retaining training, if you will, or contracting for training. Any questions? No? Can I have a motion to propose the Brown Act training for conversion staff? Is that sufficient of a statement?
So I have a question about even that even being on the agenda.
Okay.
That's
not an action item?
No.
Okay.
Strike
so
it.
We will remove.
We just want to note, though, that the Brown Act training, because we're all going to be there, I mean, we're assumed we're not going to do it separately, right? So since we're all going to be participating, that it will be as part of an open public meeting. Correct?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, strike it from the agenda. Can I have a vote to strike the item from the agenda, please? Or can I have a motion to strike the item from the agenda?
Motion to strike item G, Brown Act training for point persons and staff.
Thank you. May I have a second?
Second.
Call a vote, LACCD.
Aye.
CUSD.
Aye.
CCUSD.
Aye.
LAUSD.
Aye.
MUSD.
Aye.
Thank you.
I know we're overdoing voting. I'm sure we are.
And we might even have some former board members in the audience giving us the same guy.
Well, it's the training for me, so I appreciate it.
We'll take all the help we can get.
Okay. Item H, new proposed agenda format that includes the following standing agenda items. So again, I'm not quite sure that this is one of those elements that needs voting. if you like, we can pardon with the formalities. Really, if we look at the items that the point person's team is suggesting for the executive team to consider as standing items on each agenda. Now, it doesn't mean that we will have all of these items in every agenda, but at least it provides us with a structure that we can follow on each meeting.
So moved.
Yes. Okay, so we have unanimous.
Can I just make a, I would like to make a suggestion.
Yes.
Down the road at some point, we may want to consider having a student rep, perhaps as a part of the board or a sort of a, you know, I mean, not as a voting member, obviously, but that could be something where we'd rotate a student rep from each of the districts, an adult education student rep. It's just a suggestion for the future.
Okay. Yes.
I was going to say, I have some ideas to share when it comes time to board member comments. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, the last item on the agenda, finally, is schedule of open meetings. And basically, the staff or the point person's team is suggesting that we need to schedule periodic meetings, and we're deferring to the board in terms of the frequency of such meetings and when would those meetings be taking place.
So I propose that we meet monthly according to our original schedule. What Friday of the month is this?
I feel this is the third.
So if we do every third Friday of the month, is that something we could commit to?
I think because the requirement is that it be
standard.
Yeah, yeah. Standard, and that's kind of what we've been doing for all these years, and I think that. Yes, but we have to go monthly. We were monthly and then went quarterly, and so going back to regular
right.
Monthly, third Friday of every month.
Okay, is the time an appropriate time? At one point we were doing from 1 to 3. Do we want to go back to that, or 2 to 4 works best?
Well, if we're going to be here till 6, I say we start at 1. But
I think today might have been an exception.
I think the 1:30.
Yeah.
Okay. So 1:30 to
3:30.
Perfect. Would it be all right with the if we schedule the next meeting currently? So just define the one date, and then we'll come up with a schedule, and then we'll release that on the website.
So February 16th.
Okay, so in the event of a holiday, do we move to the next Friday?
Friday the 9th? 9th or the 23rd? I can do either one.
Tap training on the 23rd. Wait, no, the tap training is in May.
I think it would make more sense to go the 23rd.
23rd? Okay, so as a matter of procedure, if for whatever reason, you know, there's a holiday or something like that, should we just, as you know, automatically go to the next Friday?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that'd be fine. Okay, so February the 23rd is when the next open meeting will be.
And I would be willing to host it at Burbank if you needed a place.
Okay, thank you. All right, so can I have a motion to have periodically scheduled meetings on the third Friday of each month from 1:30 to 3:30.
I motion that we schedule open meetings
periodically,
and I propose that the meetings are monthly on the third Friday of the month from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. and move to the next Friday if there is a holiday.
Fantastic.
Second.
Second. I will call a vote. LACCD.
Aye.
BUSD.
Aye.
CCUSD.
Aye.
LAUSD.
Aye.
MUSD.
Aye.
Thank you. Unanimous. Okay, so finally the time has come for public comment. Can I have the forms for public comment? Thank you. Okay, so may I please call Sergio Hernandez?
No
podium for public comments? No comments at this time, thank you. Adrian Ann Mullen? Okay, no comments at this time, thank you. Those are the only two forms that we have. Is there anybody else that has a public comment form or that would like to do public commenting? Okay, so no public comments. The next item on the agenda is LEREC Board comments or additional comments.
Yeah, so I just have a question. Were we going to go back to one of our action items, I believe, that we deferred and that we were going to come back to?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's the second action item on the amounts to be distributed on an ongoing basis.
Okay, I'll be right back.
There is no additional comments from the board?
Can we take a 2-second break?
Take a 5-minute break?
Yeah.
Please?
Okay, absolutely. Yes. I'm sorry. Thank you.
You're about to die.
I'm okay.
You have not delivered a baby.
Deposit? It's just that? Hold or? I don't see one on here.
Okay. or do we tag it at the end of the conference? What do you guys think?
I say we leave it on the Friday and
that's
not
right,
have it
scheduled?
Be part of the conference.
Let's okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Terrific. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And it is so noted. Okay. So the next item that we have on the agenda is one of the action items. Action item A became
1A and 1B.
A and B, and so we're going to be looking at 1B right now. So it reads as follows. The 2017-18 MUSD return on going funds will be distributed by June 30th, 2018. $1,269,155 will be distributed to the four districts.
Mm-hmm.
So noted, right? Okay. Per formula to be determined and approved by LERIC Executive Board by June 30, 2018. In addition, $1.9 million will be distributed to the same four per formula to be determined and approved by LERIC Executive Board by June 30, 2019.
2018, it says.
Yes, I know it says 18, but it should be 19. Yeah,
can you go to the top of the description?
Certainly.
A.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Got it.
Yes.
So, two things. One, are we trying to... So, the next step is to distribute to the three the $6.3 million?
That is correct.
So, I have a proposal.
Okay. This is outside of the agenda.
What do you mean it's outside the agenda? I thought it was part of the agenda.
Oh, you have a... Okay, I'm sorry.
Before we go there...
Yeah?
Let me just go back on this thing. So this is the ongoing revenue, right?
Yes.
Can she scroll down a little?
Yeah, so the 2017-18 funds will be returned.
Yeah, is there a reason why we have it separately? Why wouldn't we just combine the two amounts?
It's two different years.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's why.
And
one is being returned this year,
and to the
second amount is being returned next year.
Okay.
So my understanding, so you could put the amounts in whatever years you need to put them in for paperwork, but in my brain right now, we need to figure out, we need to identify a distribution of the $6.3 million
correct.
To Burbank, Culver City and LAUSD, or because Bob's out of it for that amount?
No, I don't think so, because that includes the ongoing.
Right.
So we've separated, so Bob has graciously offered to step away from the one-time funding, which
right.
is the 4.671,
right.
but when it comes to the ongoing, LACCD is back.
But back for it for this year or back for it?
Back for
total. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we'll get you the amount that we're actually in question right now is the addition of the 4.6 plus 300,000 plus. We'll put that amount together, and that's what LACCD has graciously excluded themselves from.
Okay.
And then... I understand you have a proposal.
Well, it depends on what those numbers are.
Yes. Yeah, the 1.2, that's an ongoing amount, and that's why we had it as a separate item.
Right, but, yeah.
So the 1.269, that's the number you're talking about, is that correct?
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Yes, okay, and so the amount in question is $5,030,845. That's the amount in question right now.
$5 million. Say it again. $5 million.
$5,030,845.
So in this right here is $1,269,155. That would be $1,269,155. Ongoing funds will be distributed. Is that correct?
Yes.
If we add the word ongoing in there, does that clarify just a little bit?
We can certainly do that.
I think that was included up there too, but it's no problem. It just adds to it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What?
Did you have a...
Yeah, so I have a proposal for the first amount.
Okay, for the $5 million.
For the $5,030,000,
mm-hmm.
I propose $750,000 for Culver City, $1 million for Burbank, and $3,280,845 for LAUSD. Just numbers.
Can I ask what those are based upon?
They're just numbers.
Okay. So it's not needs-based?
We all need it. So we all need more than that, so it's absolutely needs-based.
Okay.
So it's a formula, considering that everybody has needs.
No, I think that was option two. So you have 1A, 1B, and then there was two that we pretty much... there is the next one.
Because these
we
are one.
From the agenda,
this
so
part is just one.
Go back.
Right.
That's the formula for distribution of the funds.
So, because I said this to Joe, so I want to say this out loud. The other rationale, the needs that everybody has that exceed what the amounts are, and it's one time only. Mm-hmm. So, that's the reason for that determination at this point.
All right. So, I don't know if you want to be protocol, if you want to follow protocol or not. We had previously stricken from the agenda this item, right? So we can unstrike it from the agenda and begin considering this. Because remember that on the previous item, we had indicated on a formula to be determined at a later time. So since we added that to the agenda, then we removed the determine the formula to distribute the funds.
We only removed it to figure out the formula moving forward. I thought we were trying to make a decision about the one time now.
Listen, I don't have a problem either way. I'm just asking if you guys want to vote to bring it back in so that we can talk about it, or we can just talk about it. Either way is fine with me.
So my understanding was that we were going to determine the one time distribution, and we were also going to determine the ongoing.
Right.
That was my understanding. So
in this case, we are, instead of deferring it for later, then you have a suggestion to be considered
for the
right
one
now,
time.
For the one time. And so then it is up to the rest of the executive board members whether they want to consider that at this point or whether we want to defer that for later.
Do you want me to add more time? Did you guys all think we were deferring making the decision today? I don't know.
I didn't.
I didn't. Did you think we were not making the decision?
No, I frankly felt from what I heard earlier that we were going to decide today.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We're not from my perspective, we're not striking anything we agreed to because.
Okay, so that's my misunderstanding.
So,
no problem. So let's unstrike it from the agenda, if you would, please. And
so I
make full consideration.
Right. So I'm making a motion, and people we can vote and they can undo it. I'm making a motion for the one-time distribution fund of $5,030,845 to be distributed as follows: $750,000 to Culver City Unified, $1 million to Burbank Unified, and $3,280,845 to LA Unified. That's my motion. $3,280,845.
The motion is distribute one-time funding. According to the following allocations, right?
Is there a second for this?
Yeah, I'm just trying to clean up the motion, and then we'll call for a second. If that's okay.
Unless there is a second, then there's a lot of work to be done.
Okay, so the motion is distribute one-time funding according to the following allocation. And then the allocation is $750,000 for Culver City, $1 million for Burbank, and $3,280,845 for LAUSD. Do we have a second?
So my question is, I just think we're kind of voting on, it seems to be very arbitrary in terms of how we're coming up with those amounts. And I guess I'm curious to know what those amounts are going to fund in terms of, you know, and why Culver City is asking for that amount, and why, is it just a number we're picking out of the air?
Just from a Robert's Rules, Brown Act perspective, was there a second? Because we really shouldn't be
second.
Discussing this. Okay, so no.
Now we have a second. Thank you. Okay, so the question stands.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter now. We're going to a vote, so, right?
No, okay. It just makes it a legitimate item.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Can't discuss it.
All right, so...
Because it could have died.
My concern is, from both a board member's point of view and also the fact that we're here in a public meeting, is, here we voted on a number of items per a distribution formula, and now we get to the one-time funding, and it's sort of like all bets are off. We don't want to do a formula. It's just, it appears as if there's a number being thrown out there from Culver City and Burbank. Legitimate, I'm not, or whatever, I don't know. And I don't know how the number was arrived at. And I think that's important. Before we vote on something, I think we should all know what exactly we're voting on.
So what I'm going to say is that the initial percentages that we created back a long time ago are not percentages that I want to continue using as we move forward forever. And so absent of requesting that we completely revisit a formula, this was to deal with the one-time monies that we have right now. And they're based on the needs. This doesn't cover either. Doesn't cover what I need either to be made whole. None of this is ever going to cover that. So absent of nothing covering that and our outcomes, we can bring outcomes. If you want to do that at a separate meeting, at another meeting, that will be fine. But we don't have all of those right here.
Right.
So... in an effort to have a decision for today, that's the request. And otherwise, my request as we move forward would be to revisit our formula altogether.
Okay. So in transparency, what LAUSD is doing, that doesn't help me in terms of what those monies are going to be used for. I can tell you from LAUSD, we have sustaining summer school at $2.5 million. We have our pay increase raise, which is $4.6 million, and we have a funding line for services for students with disabilities, which is no longer a general fund from the district expenditure, but is going to have to be picked up through adult ed. So our shortfall is $7 million, right? So it doesn't help, but at least I think what I'm communicating is what I'm trying to accomplish with this money. It's not just I want more money. We all want more money. But what are we, from Culver City and Burbank, if you could speak to what gaps are you actually trying to close, I think that would help in terms of the transparency of how you arrived at the number and what problem is it helping you solve, knowing full well nobody on this, no district has what they probably need and it doesn't address LAUSD's shortfall. It only gets us maybe halfway there.
So one idea might be, if we want to incorporate need, right, that when the state determined the formula for MOE, they determined that was all determined based on need. And so you could actually look, and they made it proportional to the size of each one of the districts. So
it was not need.
What's that?
It was not need. It was based. It was based on your expenditures.
I'm sorry. You're absolutely right, Emily. But consortium funding was determined based on a formula that incorporated poverty, number of students with less than seventh grade, you know, so on and so forth. So, for consortium funding purposes, the amount that was given to the consortium, you know, so that was based on need. So
I mean,
maybe
so
you can look at, you know, using that particular formula to incorporate the need on a proportional basis for each one of the districts.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that, you know, at the end of the day, we may vote and you may get exactly what you want without having to explain it. I guess all I'm saying is that, you know, what you're asking for Culver City amounts to, given your ABG allocation, what, an 80% increase? That's a lot. An 80% or whatever it is, I don't know what the exact, but your allocation is what, 1.2, I don't know what it is. 1.4. And then you're asking for an additional 1 million.
No.
That seems like a lot.
I'm at 700.
Oh, 750,000, sorry. Uh-huh. 750,000. I'm not sure what that, if somebody wants to do the math really quick, but that's a pretty sizable increase.
15%. 15, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50,
for something. That's okay. I mean, I think it's important that,
trying to get to that page.
We're trying to, you know, I think it's important if we're asking for more funds, I just think we need to be clear, because I'm talking about sustaining. I'm not talking about increasing or expanding programs. I'm talking about just sustaining.
Mm-hmm. Are there any additional questions from the board on this item? And would you like to submit it to a vote?
So my question would be, would this be to cover increased costs in certificated salaries, classified salaries, and benefits, along with any step and column increases?
Yes, it's to be able to do what we are currently doing.
I think if the goal is to sustain what we have, and maybe have a little bit of a one-time money bump, bonus to do some innovation or something, that should really be what is driving this, mm-hmm. as opposed to a large sum of money that is way outside the normal allocation,
right.
that cannot be sustained anyway going forward, that might cause even more problems because you might get something going and you won't be able to sustain it. So I would have to vote no on this particular motion.
Mm-hmm. We can take it to a vote and we can have another motion.
Okay, so, we have the proposal, we have a second, we'll call a vote. LACCD?
No.
Okay, BUSD?
Yes.
CCUSD?
Yes.
LAUSD?
No.
MUSD?
I'm abstaining because of the fact that I put the pot of money and it's their money now. It's the Lyric's money. I'm abstaining because of the fact that proposal was made by Montebello. Joe has a proposal ready to give. I'm sure gave out some numbers. I think the other district should put a proposal together as well.
But you're abstaining.
I'm abstaining. So, with the comment, right now, they should have a proposal.
So right now on this motion, we have a tie. And our bylaws do not include how to break a tie.
Well, the... Robert's Rules and Brown Act, I'm trying to remember what abstentions go with who.
Look it up.
Call a special board meeting.
What's that?
Call a special board meeting. Go to a vote then. Again, after proposals are made. That's how this is initially done from the very beginning. Proposals were made.
So I guess it comes down to, I mean, are people willing to budget all or not? Because, you know, again, I'm going to really stress the fact that, you know, and again, for Burbank too, I mean, $1 million increase given their current allocation. Again, I'm not saying I don't believe it, but it doesn't seem like sustaining. It seems like adding and expanding. And that's fine. I just think we should know what it is that we should know why you're asking for the amount you're asking for and what you're going to do with it. And I'm saying, LAUSD, we have the numbers. We're happy to share it. We're not just throwing a number out there, but there's a reason, there's a rhyme and reason why we're asking for it. And again, it's to sustain, it's not to grow. And I feel like the numbers that are presented from CCUSD and Burbank, there seems to be a reluctance to address what that's actually going to be used for.
Well, I guess another thing for me on my end, and I'm willing to negotiate the number, so it's mm-hmm. not that, but absent, but I'm not willing to negotiate the number at a ridiculous percent called 1.2%. So, but my other question with that kind of stuff is, even in what you have to present in terms of what you're looking to use it for in terms of summer and positions, there's a lot of other information that I think is left out of. You know, if you want me to come back, I can come back with it broken out more clearly. When I told you earlier, when I was talking about the 900,000, mm-hmm. That had something to do with finally having summer school, right. Finally getting summer school, dealing with all the raises, dealing with the increase in some of our facilities costs, because our district's not going to just keep paying those things. So I'm happy to defer this decision. Happy to defer this decision to a later date where we can come back. But just because LAUSD has their stuff, some of their stuff with them, I don't think that because Burbank and I don't have all those details, that we need to make a decision on with that information.
If I could tally off of that. So I don't know what LA's timeline is. And obviously you're working on budget now. He's ready. However, the other two are not ready. Let them get ready. And as long as within the timeline, a sustainable timeline, because I know we all are...
We all have March 15th.
Well, I mean, here's the thing.
So then you can go to where you need
sure.
to go. Get
and,
to where
and,
you need to get.
You know, that's fine. I mean, if the numbers aren't going to change, if at the end of the day what you're saying is $1 million for BUSD, that's the end of it, we're going to draw our line in the sand, we're not going to budge, then that's fine. I'm sure you can get up. You can bring whatever documentation you need to bring to support that number. I don't have any questions about that. I think in the discussion we're having today, it just seems a little odd to me that, you know, just in general, you haven't said, "Hey, listen, we need $1 million because we got employee raises. We have just the things you talked about." You know, not necessarily that you have to have a line item analysis, which I don't really have. I have some general stats. I didn't bring the whole budget with me. It would be a booklet. But I just felt it was important that when we're asking for more funds, you know, given what, you know, Dan has shared, I just feel it's important for all of us to know kind of more or less what you have in mind for those funds. And is it, and I guess, you know, to the degree that, you know, we can determine, hey, is that a reasonable ask? And, you know, maybe it is. I don't know, because I don't really know what those funds, what you have in mind for those. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were willing to share that today, I think that would help in terms of driving. So I know actually, if I'm going to vote, I know what I'm voting on. If I don't vote, then I know why I'm not voting. Instead of just a number on the board and somehow I'm supposed to...
Well, and I
mean...
You
know what I'm saying? That's all.
Yeah, but so as a board member who's been the only board member from the get-go, and where we created these formulas from the get-go was a lot of, to be blunt, was a lot of negotiations around what we're willing to do. How I got to the 1.2% was my willingness for Culver City to get three of the districts that were not willing to budge to finally get to a place. So just so we're all clear, those percentages were kind of moved around a lot to address negotiating to a number,
mm-hmm.
right? So
yeah,
none of those percentages, by the way, were based on a fixed, this is going to be based on enrollment, this is going to be based on what your income is now, this is going to, none of those were actually based on that. If what we want to do is go to that, let's do it. Let's go to that place where we renegotiate what those percentages are, be clear on what they are, so moving forward, that can be the case. But we are not, I am not moving forward on 1.2% for eternity.
Right now,
based on whatever you guys think are the
sides. I don't think that was the proposal.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that's the proposal.
So let me say a couple of things here. First of all, an abstention, I'll just read this, abstentions are instances in which members who are present refuse to vote. In the usual situation where either a majority vote or two-thirds vote is required, abstentions are not counted and have no effect on the result. However, if the vote required is a majority or two-thirds of the members present, an abstention has the same effect as a no vote. So I think it would be no. Beyond that, Mr. Stark, do you have a number that you would be comfortable with that you could put on the table?
I just want to clarify something because I really haven't said anything about this. Is I do have a number in mind. I do have a spreadsheet, and I'm certainly prepared to share that and to discuss what that is. I feel again, I respect everyone's opinion. I'm a very respectful person, but I think that what really we need to do here. Given even this debate here, even given the questions we had earlier, is to frankly consider having a special meeting where we come back and maybe in a couple of weeks, and make these presentations. But I'm very willing to share what our need is, and in fact what our need is today. But I'm not looking at 17-18. I'm looking at.
Is when this money, you'd be able to use this money anyway.
That's what we're all looking at.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, I have no doubt that you can go back and pull all the spreadsheets and data and all that stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, I think, we're trying to arrive at a number, however mm-hmm. we do that. The fact is, we have been using percentages plus other factors that we can include so that it meets your needs. There was a baseline factor in one of the calculations that we looked at for the data and accountability. The reality is, if your number's not going to change, I don't want to waste 2 weeks. And if this is as good as it's going to get for LAUSD, 3.2, I may be willing to vote on that today because I'd rather have a bird in hand. Quite honestly, than to waste 2 weeks to come back and talk about it again, and at the end of the day, Burbank says, I'm still at a million, Culver City, I'm still at 750,
so
and we're kind of deadlocked.
May I suggest then that as a matter of protocol, then we finalize the vote, if I understand both correctly, and I want to make sure that the rest of the board members feel comfortable with that, then the motion will not pass. And then we can go back and look at what Emilio has to offer, and perhaps he would like to put forth another motion.
So before we do that,
yes.
I think Dan needs to be clear that what his, and I'm okay with that, but before you just decide that, He has to be clear that abstaining means a no vote, and he may not have known that that's what that means. I'm just so
well,
he knows.
I agree, but I would also say this. Dan's a professional. He's an adult. He voiced his reason for abstaining, and I think we leave it at that. You know, he's already voted. I don't think, you know, I think it is what it is, and that's that.
Okay. So before we move on, because we already voted on this item, is there another proposal that someone wants to propose?
So I can speak for us. What we have is definite increases, and frankly, right now at the end of this year, we will be going over what we have budgeted. So we're going to be going into dollars there that because we're spending more than the 2404. What I would need for the 18-19 year is 847,000. And part of this is to continue to keep our summer school program going. Where I mean, I can go into somewhat details, but frankly, I don't know that that this is a particular forum for that. The other thing is that we've taken on students with disabilities, and we have, frankly, some needs in positions that we have not filled at all. So we have not increased administratively one iota. It's the same ratio of administration, but there are certain positions that we have not filled because, quite frankly, our costs have gone up. And for us, as they are for everyone, it is the salary increases for the certificated, for the classified, and for the benefits, along with those that those are negotiated increases, but where there are step and column for also the certificated and the classified, as well as the STIRS and PERS increases as well. And so we're looking at quite a bit. And when I was in our budget meeting and they showed me that figure and they said, this is what you're going to be in the red for 18-19, I immediately went back and said, we've got to rethink about some of the things that some of the programs are running. And that may be that we no longer run our summer programs for ESL, and that we have positions that go unfilled, and that we undo some of the programs that we started, that we opened up, and I shared here to somewhat fanfare, which was we expanded our Saturday counseling hours, we expanded our Saturday high school diploma program hours, which we did not have. We had it, and so we opened it up Saturday. We'd have to stop that for the 18-19 school year to offset some of these costs.
So, sorry, go ahead.
Well, so you're asking me for exact numbers. So 681, 537, 43 are the exact numbers that allow us to just continue where we are with the increases in salary and benefits. That doesn't do, it doesn't, no AP, no extra counselor, no anything. And I don't have a team to prepare anything for me. I am the team that prepares it. So,
may I make a motion?
So that's the number.
So I would move that Burbank receives $847,000. Culver City receives $682,000, and the balance goes to LAUSD.
Do I have a second for that motion?
I second.
Okay. Okay. So 847 and then 682 even for the second one.
Plus you said 47. Did you say 547?
847
was Burbank.
And then 682.
And 682 was Culver City.
Okay, so then let's total up then what that would be for LA.
I'm doing it here.
Okay.
I thought she had some other
hundreds.
4771. So it's 4771. 4,771?
No, it would be, wouldn't it be
3.6? Oh, 63. I'm dealing with the wrong number.
I think it would be something like 3.6, Joe.
Sorry.
All right, let's get the right math.
3.5.
3.5 million.
And while the mathematicians are doing that, the only thing that I would just say is this is just a one-time. This is a one-time save.
Yeah.
Thanks to Montebello. Thank you, Jim.
And LA.
And LA.
And LA. So it's 4.665.
Yeah.
No, I thought we were dealing with 5.030.
Well, it's the plus the data and accountability, okay. I guess. We're all we're rolling it together.
Right.
682,
yeah.
So
682, yeah. So we're
dealing with 5,030,845.
$3,501,845.
Okay, so we have a motion on that?
Yes.
The motion has been seconded. I will call the vote.
Well, any further discussion before we call the vote?
No further discussion?
What did you say?
Well, it's more than 3.5, but I'll if I get halfway there, that's probably better than not. I just want to say I appreciate Burbank and Culver City, willing to maneuver a little bit here and provide some information on what it's going to be used. I mean, that helps. So I feel like I know what I'm voting on. So I appreciate that.
Any additional comments? So calling a vote, LACCD?
Aye.
BUSD?
Aye.
CCUSD?
Aye.
LAUSD?
Aye.
And Montebello? MUS?
I get to vote on this one now because I am sitting here.
Yeah. You get to vote.
I'll say aye.
Motion is passed unanimously. So we still have the pending item of the distribution of the ongoing amounts. Do we want to visit that now, or do we want to defer it to a later time?
I mean, I'd like to address it now. I apologize that it's getting late, but as I said, I think going back to the fact that Dan and his team, per really our, I don't know if it was direction or encouragement or whatever, but we asked him to be prepared today, and he was. And I think the understanding was that because he was prepared, this board was then going to be prepared to take action on the redistribution. And we spent this long at it. I don't see why we can't wrap it up. That's just me.
So I would like to move that the ongoing fund be allocated in the manner in which the current allocation formula exists.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Are there any comment?
So when you say the current allocation formula, you're talking about the percentages, 78, 1.2, whatever. I feel that if we're going to be moving forward on allocation numbers, that it's going to be it's time to revisit creating a new formula. I think that if that were something that had base with that, it would be different, but it amounts to very little when we're talking about 1.8 million.
Well,
that's my discussion.
Okay, I'll just follow up by saying that that's a bigger discussion.
I get it.
The 1.8 is a relatively small amount of money. This is a special case that we would normally not even be talking about.
And are we only talking
basically
18, 19, and 19, and the next year?
Well, here's how I see this. So right now, we have 1.8 million in round numbers that have been returned to the pot because of Montebello situation.
Right.
So that pot is
and
ongoing.
And 1.2.
And 1.2. So 3 million. So that pot is that amount of money goes back into the pot, distributed per the formula we have in existence right now, and is ongoing until such time as the state changes the allocation to our group or our allocation formula changes. But for now, it would all go back in and be allocated as it is currently being allocated.
Correct. So a point of clarification. If the state, like Bob said, point if the state changes our allocation in an increase,
The same formula exists.
Montebello will be back in that, obviously, in that allocation.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Montebello is back in that check. Yes.
Yeah. Can you clarify for, I guess, me, but anybody else, the total number you're talking about for Osborne?
There's two separate amounts, one for this year and one for next year. So 1.2 is the first amount, 1.269155. To be distributed by June 30th, 2018. The second amount is 1.880843 to be distributed by June 30th, 2019. Yes.
So, I have another comment.
Yes.
So my comment is that the original allocation, if we continue to use the formula and we move to something beyond what Montebello's returning, Montebello's back in that distribution. And that formula was
based with
Montebello in it and in different situations. And so to continue with that formula, it was based that we're in the situation.
Except you're going to get more because the pie is only being divided by...
Yeah, the Montebello factor.
Right, I understand that for right now.
Yeah.
My concern with the statement, I'm going to tell you, my concern with the statement is that it's ongoing. I'm okay with making that decision for this 3 point, the 1.8 and 1.2 for this time and next time. I'm totally okay with that. I want to have a different distribution formula beyond dealing with Montebello's returning money.
May I suggest something as far as that is concerned? So the motion is still on the table for the one item.
Okay, sorry.
I don't know if it has been seconded yet, but at the same time, so it's been seconded, so we'll go to a vote in just a little bit after I ask if there are additional comments. But at the same time, you can always suggest that a review of the current allocation formula be implemented as well. I mean, that's within the purview of the executive team, right? And as long as, and I just talked to the state, and this is one thing that they clarified, as long as there is consensus from the board, then the state would be willing to change the allocation formula. So it's something for you guys to consider as well as we are determining, you know, all of these elements.
I think one thing to keep in mind is, you know, per the legislation, and, you know, we haven't really gotten to this part yet, we absolutely have to at some point, is, you know, this is a performance-based grant.
Yeah,
right? So at some point, we're going to have to really talk performance and reconcile that with the legislation, which says, you know, the whole point of this funding is stability. It's not meant to be like this, you know, in these huge swings back like a poker game, you know. Well, this year, you know, sorry, you know, you don't get it this year. So the idea is supposed to be stable funding with performance.
Absolutely.
Right? So the idea that we would be doing any sort of drastic change to a formula moving forward, I mean, I think, of course, we want to, you know, leave the possibility open to revisit that, but I would also say we have to be careful not to sort of, you know, shuffle the whole deck again and start from scratch. I think we need to look at, you know, reconciling it with the legislation. Districts are supposed to get at least as much as they got the prior year.
That's the legislation.
Unless they're not performing.
Right.
So, or there's some other issue, and we've dealt with that today. This has been one of our first tests of the consortium, which I think we're doing quite well, all things considered. So that would be my only comment, is that, you know, I think if we have districts that are performing and meeting whatever targets are, you know, and also understanding that the lion's share, again, of the outcomes are coming from LAUSD, right? Now, that's just because of our size and scope, right? So I agree that in the future, you know, we also need to look at more of a
percentage
of who you're serving and all that. Get it. Totally understand. Mm-hmm. So I think if we could agree on this for today, and of course leave the, and I think by voting on this today, I don't think we're precluding any kind of that discussion and future votes and decision-making for the future.
That is correct.
And I'll just say that the California Community College system funding formula is about to change dramatically as of July 1, 2017, with 50% based on the old butts in the seat formula, 25% tied to low-income students, and the other 25% tied primarily to completion, degrees, certificates, and transfers. So this whole notion of performance-based has been, which has been kicking around for half a dozen years at least, is here. So I heartily agree, Joe, that this is where we're going, no doubt.
You know, this has been very productive. The other thing that I'd like to share is that for districts such as, and I think that, you know, we have a very unique consortium in terms of our demographics and our sizes.
Right.
Burbank is much more similar to Culver City than it is to, just administratively, even, than it is to Montebello. Can't even compare to LAUSD or to the LACCD. One of the factors I think that we need to look at for the future is economies of scale, is that when Culver or Burbank initiate a new program, the cost is fundamentally going to be greater than it will for a larger district that already has some of those resources. So the economies of scale for us, it's going to be that cost, that unit cost, is going to be far greater than what it will be for a larger entity. And I think we do need to consider some of those things for the future.
Absolutely.
Is there any additional comment on the motion on the table?
So I want to be, can I ask for clarification,
sir?
So we are talking, this would be ongoing.
Yes.
And the total of this ongoing amount is $3,149,998.
If that is the addition of those two amounts, then the answer is yes. We'll add it and confirm. So $1,149,155 plus $1,880,844. So that's 3.1, I'm sorry, 3,149,998. Okay. Any additional comments or questions on the motion on the table? So it was proposed. We had a second. I'm going to call a vote. LACCD?
Aye.
BUSD?
Aye.
CCUSD?
Nay.
Okay. And LAUSD?
Aye.
And MUSD?
Aye.
So we have four yes and one no. The motion carries.
Was there time for a few more items? Or?
Okay. Second to last item on the agenda is the next meeting will be held on February 23rd of 2018, and
Are there any comments from the executive board? Anything else?
I'm sorry, Algonard, I had this written down. I would like to remind folks of the fact that the summit is Monday and Tuesday.
Yes.
And then also on January 24th, there is an ABG WIOA training that Neil Kelly and Jay Wright from the Neil Kelly from the
ABG
office and Jay Wright from the
CASAS
will be at Burbank on the 24th of January for that training. And that's really critical because of the changes in how the WIOA funding was distributed late, the notification of the dollars was very late, and also how those dollars are distributed has changed. So that's going to be an important training, and I know they've extended the date of submitting the budget as a result of sending this money out so late, or the gains letter so late.
All right. Thank you. Any other announcements?
No announcements.
Are we going to get, sorry, oh, go ahead. So we agreed to a distribution of the formula, but Montebello was in the distribution of the formula. So what really is the formula?
If you like, we can put up the template again. Basically, what we did, or what our suggestion was, is to take the Montebello portion and distribute it proportionately.
Break it down.
For the rest of the.
So what are
those? So we're going to distribute the 3,149,998 to all five, and then based on the percentage, then we're going to take Montebello's part of that. Mm-hmm. And then redistribute that according to the percentages.
That's a long way about it, yes.
So can we see she's plugging it in?
Yeah.
3,149,998. Right, so if you look at item G, column G.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. So column G is the percent of total without MUSD. Right, so what we did, again, we took that 12%, and we put it proportionally in each one of the percentages.
3,149,998.
Nancy, what's Larry's office? Are you getting a raise? Is that what that is?
Yes.
Larry's office should be up.
I'll explain in a second. Let's focus on this, if I may, please. Okay. So those are the amounts. Although, you know, you have to look at the fact that it's actually two separate years. So this is not all going to come together. But year one is going to be one amount. Year two is going to be another amount.
But together, I'm getting a whopping $43,342 over 2 years.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. Sorry. Wait.
Over 2 years.
Yep.
2 years if you're looking at spending it, part of it this year and next year.
So what I wanted to close with is just a sincere thank you to everybody in this room for doing the work that you do every day, for the students that we all support. In the adult education area, there is such an urgent need for these folks. And as hard as it is for us all to provide these services, it's really God's work. And I respect and appreciate my colleagues for sitting up here and having these difficult conversations. But what I always try to do is keep students in the front of every decision that we make. So thank you to everybody for everything you do. And I don't know why you're all sitting here like this, but we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Do we want to adjourn the meeting, or do you want to...
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I think other people have asked the same questions.
So if you recall, the executive board at one point decided to extract from the top of the budget $166,000. Okay, so that amount of money is allocated to LAUSD, but it's not LAUSD's money. It is the consortium money. if we don't separate it and allow a small increase as we're doing these calculations, then that means that money goes to LAUSD and not to the LARIC fund.
Yes.
So instead of 166, now LARIC will receive 170,000. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. With that, then, if there is no additional comment, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you all. Thank you for your patience.
And thanks for the audience.